You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Thank you, Buck. But I can get by on my own. The thing is, you don't have to. I'm with you to the end of the line, pal.
Welcome to another edition of Comedia Gogo's podcast, Public Access. Once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And we are happy campers, Regan. Like, we're camping, we're excited, but we're happy campers to be talking about what today?
Three happy campers, public access topics. Topic number one, tell us about a live music show you went to where something ended up going very, very wrong. Topic number two, what current kids' movie or TV show do you genuinely enjoy? And topic number three, out of all the jobs you've ever had, what job did you do the least amount of work at?
Oh, cool. Well, I hope it's not our current
job. No, yeah, no. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure it's not our current
job. It is not our current jobs. That is the job I do the most work at.
Yeah.
And I'm actually exhausted by the time I get off of work.
I do so much at my current job.
Man, yeah, exactly. Yeah, just nonstop.
No time for a jerk at work. Here.
I wish. Yeah, just grind to the stone, grind to the bone. Right. Yeah, exactly.
I wish I had a day off or a week off.
You know what? Burning that 6 o'clock oil.
But it's like I appreciate what I do.
Right,
like,
yeah,
I'm happy doing what I do.
Right, right, right.
And we are pleased as punch.
Pleased as punchier.
Pleased as mega punch to have back on the podcast for, what is this, the third time?
Third time,
the man of metal himself, the cyborg, the universal soldier, Steve Rogers, Mexican alter ego, Captain Mexican America, Carlos Castro.
Wait, Captain Mexican America.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Mexican
all right.
American.
Yeah. No. I like Captain Mexico America.
That's right. What's up, Cap? What's up, Steve Rogers?
Esteban Rogers.
Esteban Rogelio. Yeah.
Esteban Rogelio.
Yeah, I like it, man. Special Forces, Roger. I can't say it. How have you been, man?
I've been great.
Save
it's always
the world.
It's always. Always happy to come back to San Antonio.
Well, I'm happy that you're here.
This is actually a special occasion. So we've already had you on as a guest before, but this time you were incredibly nice enough to donate to our GoFundMe.
Yeah.
Which is what we were flabbergasted by the fact that you would donate to be on the podcast.
Thank you.
As a guest.
That's right.
Since you were already a guest.
And you're intimidating enough to like say, I'm coming on the show.
And we're like, okay.
I'm
okay,
so sorry. Yeah, whatever you'd like. You know what? Go fund yourself. You know what I mean?
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Hey, I just wanted to seal the deal.
You know what? You're a general. Because you could have just took it.
You could have. And we would have taken it.
That's not his style.
No, you're a gentleman. That's right. Steve Rogers doesn't just take it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what?
He's a gentleman.
To the end of the line.
Yeah.
Yeah. He can do this all day.
That's right, Bucky. So, Winter Soldier, like, with your metal arm. How have you been, man? How are the kiddos?
Things are great. My kids are great. Love them. My son... Heart of gold. My daughter, sociopath.
They usually work
well together.
Yeah, they work really well together.
Odin, coolest name. My son's name Gunner, and I have to say Odin is way cooler. And I think my son's name's the tops. And what is your daughter's name?
Scarlet.
Scarlet. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Superheroes in
that's
the Marvel Galaxy.
Scarlet, like the blood on her hands that she's going to have from ripping boys' hearts out.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And then fuck with their minds.
She's gonna mess them up.
Yeah,
good for her. And then your grandson's gonna be Thor.
He's gonna have to be now.
Yeah.
There's no other choice.
We gotta step it up with the weird names.
Yeah, and then Odin's gonna say, I named him after my dad. And your dad's named Thor? No, just meet him.
He's a Nordic god.
Yeah, you should see his hammer.
Get it?
Dick joke!
Yeah.
Thor, no one's ever done the Thor fucking hammer.
No, people have done that before.
Prove it.
I'll find the picture. Google
it. Thor's mighty hammer?
Yeah.
First one, dude.
No.
Rule whatever, 42.
Original.
No, it's not original.
I'm pretty sure.
It's not original. Comment, guys, if you've heard your local comic book
store. Well, you can see what they comment.
Yeah, you guys listening.
They're commenting.
Go ahead.
We just can't see.
Tell us about your local comic book store's Thor dick joke.
Google Thor sort of.
Dick jokes?
Sure. I'm sure.
You've never heard a Thor dick joke until today, right?
No, I have not.
Thank you, man. Right here. He's been all over the world.
That's right. Speaking of all over the world, you have once again brought us snacks from all over the world. You have been gracious every time you were to come by.
Jaffa cakes.
Jaffa cakes.
From where?
London.
Ugh, that's gross.
No, they're good. I first heard about these in the show Spaced.
Yep.
Oh.
They're like an orangey chocolate cookie thing. Then we have milk chocolate tunnocks, milk chocolate tea cakes.
Where are those from?
Scotland.
Ooh. Scotland. So they have hummus or haggis in them, right?
No. They're a delicious biscuit base topped with marshmallows and covered with real milk chocolate. All right. Tunnocks.
That sounds like a
still.
That's probably that sounds like a moon pie.
Might be.
But like a Scottish moon pie.
Yeah, everything I bring is moon pies from different countries.
I was going to say that.
Yeah. And then
we're the only country that's been on the moon, though, man.
Yeah.
Then you brought some Akmak's organically grown whole wheat flour sesame crackers.
Ooh.
Sesame crackers?
Where are those from?
I think these were from Middle East.
The Middle East is a huge area with many different countries.
It's like unleavened bread. As it says in the biblical days, it was considered an important part of the diet. Genesis 18:6.
Yeah, you weren't wrong about
Genesis 42:1 and 2. Genesis 43:11. We at Akmak bringing you a high-protein wheat, as well as the highest quality wheat that is available on the American market.
Yeah, man.
So, Akmak. It's as good as it sounds.
Yeah.
Let's try that one first.
We gotta try that one first. Wait. I also like to point out.
I want to try some Gordon Levin bread.
No, but before you open it up, look at the side. Look at the actual, like, break. The other side, I think? The breakdown.
That's of the wheat. It's actually of the wheat germ.
It looks like skin. Like the layers of skin. Like
bran layers, farina, or starch, wheat germ. Yeah. Longitudinal section of a grain of wheat.
We know what you guys are thinking. When are we going to get to hear Larry eat and talk at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? That's coming up very soon.
Ooh.
We'll be breaking bread with you guys.
You know what? I think Jesus would have lived to see 34 if he put sesame seeds on his body.
Admiral Akmak. It's a trap.
Oh,
the sesame seeds actually really make
them better. No, they really do better. Yeah. This is a lighter, crispier version of
those sticks.
English. Yeah, exactly.
The sticks that your aunt had when she had spaghetti.
Mm-hmm.
Are you surprised? Did you try one?
No.
I thought these were going to be horrible. Yeah.
Not me. But knew they were going to be good. So here's what I'm going to call that's going to be gross.
Akmak's.
Cakes.
Stelladora. That was the name of the company. Stelladora breadsticks is the things that they used to be.
Yeah, now we're snacking. Take that, Travis K. I bring snacks.
Oh,
wow.
We have a
gauntlet's been thrown.
Has it?
Now, I've always called Travis K out because there could only be one Lee in Tenacious D.
Well, with all due respect, and I'm saying this out of fear that you would rip my esophagus out and then put it back surgical precision, but just to show me that you can do both. Is Travis K, I think, has a up on everybody because he quotes episode numbers.
Oh, yeah. He can do that.
Yeah. And that's like, that's fanboy 101.
He's an encyclopedia of us.
Good.
All right.
What's up? Jaffa cakes?
Jaffa cakes are next. I'll open the other. Oh, shit.
I think Carlos has been wanting to try those.
Oh, the Jaffa cakes.
That's not even how they open, I bet. I bet you they weren't even perforated.
I am no stranger to Jaffa cakes.
These yeah, I've had.
Oh, we're going to grab one. I'm sorry.
I don't want to say that, but I ate some of these in London.
All right. Well, this is the only chance I'll ever have to have a JaffaCon.
Jaffa cakes are very nice and fluffy.
So it's chocolate over Jello.
But it's not just orange Jello. It's like actually like a artificial slice of orange,
like marmalade.
Yeah, like a marmalade, but with like actual orange chunk. Like Andrew, they took a dull slice,
which is delicious.
And it probably sounds like we're all simultaneously eating out Carlos because he's not saying anything, like, because he's just bent over in ecstasy.
He's not bent over in ecstasy.
Yeah, because all we hear is,
All right.
Ockmocks are my jam.
You picked the Ockmocks over the Jaffa cakes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So,
Turncocks, milk chocolate. Turncocks
chocolate mallow.
Mallow. All right.
Invented by Thomas Turncock. Wait, Tunnock.
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 All right. It has
that's
a very...
That's a ton of cock. All right.
All right.
So, it's a ball.
It's a chocolate ball.
Chocolate ball. Cheers.
Did you just eat your whole one in one?
I was about to do that.
Oh, man.
But I wanted to see the middle.
I like this.
This is good.
This is good. It's a little rich. I like this better than a traditional moon pie.
Yeah, it's a lot of mallow.
That mallow's creamy, though. The thing with the moon pie is that it's that kind of like old, not old, but that really chewy mallow. This is like a cream.
Yeah.
This is just like collapses.
For those of you watching at home,
dude.
Tunnock's Tea Cakes. Order you some on Amazon.
Yeah.
Well worth
and
it.
And you actually got these in Scotland?
No, I didn't get these in Scotland. But
did you get these at HEB in the ethnic food aisle?
No, I got this at the on post from the overseas aisle.
All right. So, that's cool.
Yeah, these are really good.
Holy shit, those are really good.
Yeah.
But have you ever been to Scotland?
No, not officially.
Ooh. Ever been to London?
No.
Regan, you've had all of these in every country these are from, right?
No.
Because all you buy are cough drops.
I just threw those away. I finally threw away those old Serbian or whatever Pragian cough drops. And here's what's weird about them. They all turned soft. So they all turned into like, they went from hard candy to the consistency of like a gummy lifesaver. Like they were kind of like squishy. It was bad. It was bad. I threw them all away. And I think a rat tried getting into them and they probably was like pissed off because they thought it was candy. And
let me ask
like,
you this. Where were they?
In that corner back thing.
And a rat got to them?
Yeah.
There's rats in here?
Probably. I don't know what was eating it.
Rats and gnats, huh?
Yeah. It might be cold weather brings out the rats.
Hit me up one of these Akmok, it's a trap, Admiral Akbars.
All right. Well, here's the thing with the Turncocks tea cakes.
I just need to like kind of, that's super sweet.
Yeah. But no, it's, I ate my Turncock with an RC Cola, which, you know, brings me back to elementary school. So there's only two more and there's four of us.
Oh,
arm wrestling.
Oh, we can cut it in half. I can
and
get
they're
my,
both yours.
I can use my candy knife.
Yeah.
What's a candy knife?
It's just a really sharp knife that's good at cutting candy.
Is that what it was meant for?
No, not at all. I just call it the candy knife.
Well, that's candy?
All right.
He has a birthmark in his bicep.
One more thing. Carlos was super kind enough to contribute to my collection of Lego minifigures.
What?
So Lego...
Oh, Carlos, you guys saw presents?
Carlos got one for me.
Yeah?
And one for Lisa. And by request, I will open this up. Right now.
So you got us and our spouses presents, each one of us and our significant others?
No, well, the thing is, Larry,
thank you.
He brought us food.
Yeah.
No, but Jess is eating the food too, so that doesn't count. So you got Jess and Lisa and me and Annie and Regan and, you know, guests. The guests. Whoever you want, I give it to, man.
Oh, wow. It's like a Asgardian flying Icarus knight guy. He's like a Zeus with a spear.
You'd have a horse with
him. No, yeah. No. It's a wrestler.
It's a wrestler with a
cup. Oh, it's a wrestler with a cup. Okay.
And pubes?
No, he's not pubes.
That's pubes.
No.
Oh, dude, that's like Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, it's like Ultimate Warrior.
Oh,
Hulkamaniacs. I'm on trial.
All right, my turn. My turn, Carlos.
I have this Dave and Buster's card that.
What?
I don't know how
I've never been. We've never talked about Dave and Buster's.
I drank too much the other night. I don't know how much money I put on it, but I'm not ever going back there. I can't. Hey, so I'm gonna. You can have it.
No, that's not my present. You're such a jokester. What are my presents, Carlos?
He didn't get you a present, Larry. Look. Their last names are Castro.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They're family. All right? You're not family.
He still loves you. He brought all this food.
For, yeah, right.
For all of us.
But you know what? You should probably ask Travis to bring you something.
Oh!
Played.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So we're going favorites on the fanboys.
It's not favorites.
So Carlos is team Castro.
No.
Or as well, Castro you should fan. Be. Travis, I guess, you know, might be team Larry. We'll see. Maybe team Regan. Who's to say? And I think RTB.
I was going
to
say, Ryan Timothy Brace is team Regan. Team Regan. Yeah. Who hopefully I will be hanging out with in a month.
Well, that's cool.
So it's all right. Even though he'll never understand how excited you were when Bioshock came out, reading on the counter of GameStop, going over it in 2008.
He'll never know that. That wasn't me, but I mean, that's all right. I left GameStop in 2006. That's Carlos and I, we were friends.
I'm enjoying this episode so much right now.
Oh, man.
Watching Larry's heart be slowly crushed.
Hey, Larry, you can
didn't get a gift.
You can have my Jaffa cake.
No, I already had like two, and you've had them before. So. Well, I mean, I'm happy that you're here. I guess I'm just a fourth wheel.
Wait, did you say a fourth wheel?
Yeah.
On the trike.
I know that most vehicles
have four wheels.
Need a fourth wheel.
Yeah.
You're a fourth wheel and a tricycle.
On a tricycle.
Yeah. You're unnecessary.
No, unnecessary.
Yeah. No. Yeah. You are not wanted.
Right.
That is not true. Carlos loves you.
Well, I mean,
not as much as Jess,
right,
though.
Right.
Why am I okay with that and you're so upset? That's, I think, maybe the biggest problem.
You've stated Regan's house. You've surfed on his couch.
We've broken bread together.
Right. Mm-hmm. I get it. We've been to Bennigan's.
We have.
You always have Bennigan's.
Bennigan's doesn't exist anymore because of us.
Wait, it doesn't?
No more Bennigan's.
Not in San Antonio.
Oh.
That's another Travis thing, you know, he can't take away from me.
Yeah, Travis will never know what it's like to hang out at GameStop with me. Or go to Bennigan's with our wives.
That's right.
So, here's to memories of our friendship that will never come back. It's got real awkward, Carlos, and it's all your fault.
Crap! I'm sorry, Andrew Thomas. We didn't post last week's podcast.
Yeah, it comes out tomorrow. Sorry, guys.
So I did a spoiler on what my answer was for last week. Thanks for keeping up, Andrew. Man,
and, Judson Cooper are like, what about us, guys?
Well, then
Gabriel Diaz is like, you know, what about me?
I love all you guys.
Right? I love all the guys. I love everybody.
Yeah, Thunderdome then. Got it.
I you would win that. I mean, come on, dude. You're the big scary character.
You're Master Blaster.
Mad Max. Carlos, I forgive you, man.
Thank you.
I didn't apologize, Larry. You know, I could see it in your eyes.
I'm super excited you're back.
I'm super excited you're back as well.
I'm super
happy.
And I
am super appreciative of these snacks.
Now, what else are you super appreciative about, Jess?
I'm also super appreciative of this Lego figure.
Oh, man.
And
Travis got me a Leatherface figure.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. It was nice.
I'm perfectly content not getting gifts from people because I don't
judge. Yeah. Who
no, I'm saying, listen.
I mean, who knows what you like?
Time out.
Didn't get you anything.
Wait. You guys are upset about, or Larry is upset about this particular gift, which you brought up a gift.
I'm happy. I'm happy that you got it. It was just because.
Exactly. This was like nice things from other. You got something from Ryan. You got something that Jess hated from Samson. Not you did. Oh, you got it for him.
Yeah. I'm a gift giver.
I gave you a gift.
Thanks, man. I got you one too.
Thanks. What I'm trying to say is gifts aren't important to me. What's important to me is friendship,
right. Yeah,
camaraderie,
company,
right.
snacks.
Look, man, this is a material world.
You are
a material girl.
You're a material girl.
Yeah.
So, Travis, Thank you so much for my Leatherface figure, man. You're one of a kind.
The only gift I...
You're the worst person in the world, Larry.
Why?
I'm super excited to be here.
I'm super happy that you're here and Travis gets to share it with
We're
us
gonna
on Facebook.
We're going to start the podcast now.
Okay. Well, Carlos, look. I know Jess is your favorite, but I'm happy to see you. I'm always been happy to see you. Those chocolate chip eyes of yours. I can't stay mad at them. So you know what the present is that you brought me?
What's that?
Your presence. Wow. That's all I need, man.
That's not
Jess true. Needs material things.
I don't really need right? material things.
As long
all.
As they're not homemade.
I don't I'll take he loves homemade them. Things.
I get it. Now I understand it. And I feel guilty, I'll admit it. I feel bad that I didn't realize that you did that just so Jess wouldn't be rude to you. You're right. And all I need is you. So I feel a lot better. So I'm really excited about this podcast again. And
you're back.
I'm back.
Right.
And so thank
you. Glad you're back, Larry.
Thanks, man. It hurt. Well, look, it hurt. You know?
We're moving on.
So, Jess.
Yeah.
What do you got now, you fucking greedy fuck?
Well, since it's all...
My all favorite episode ever.
All ears on me, motherfucker. It's time for another episode of Yeah, I'm looking at that. Y'all motherfuckers know it's a topic where I talk about the latest in movies and video games, and hopefully the enthusiastic reaction of friends and listeners and even Larry would be, yeah, I'm looking at that. So the bullshit I'm talking about this week is this movie called The Green Room, or I think just Green Room. And Green Room is a suspense thriller starring Anton Yelchin. He was the actor that's in Star Trek. He plays...
the Russian?
Yeah.
All right.
He was in the remake of Fright Night. And speaking of Star Trek, it also stars Patrick Stewart, America's favorite Professor X. And so... what this movie happens in this movie is that this punk band... scores a gig at this punk rock venue. They're having a badass show. They're having a badass time. The accommodations are a little awkward, granted, but they're having a good time. Then, when they're clearing out after the show, backstage, they witness a horrific murder.
Ooh.
And the murder is committed by none other than white supremacists.
Ooh.
Who actually have tie-ins to the actual venue. So when the white supremacist murderers see the band... they know that they can't leave the venue alive because they've done seen something, so they can't get out. So the punk rock band is trapped inside the green room of the venue while being tormented and hunted and pressured and sought to be killed by a gang of white supremacists led by none other
than Dwight Yoakam.
Than Patrick Stewart.
Oh, okay. And Jared Leto. And Forest Whitaker.
So instead of the panic room, it's the green room. And instead of Jodie Foster, it's a group of punk rockers.
Yeah.
No, it does look very intense. Looks pretty dirty. Looks dirty. Looks gritty. Looks ugly. Looks violent. And nothing like fighting for your life in a suspense top thriller. It made the festival runs a year and a half ago. And now it's finally coming out in theaters come in April. So that's The Green Room with Professor X.
Have you seen it?
No. Looking forward to it, though.
He's going to look into
it. I'm going to look into that.
All right.
Yeah, exactly. But that inspires the topic, the first topic for tonight's public access. And the topic is, tell us about a live music show that you went to that ended up going horribly wrong. In the movie Green Room, they're just having a good time, and then they see someone murdered. Let's hope we don't have answers that are similar to that, because that would be really bad.
Lost them on Allegra, dude.
Yeah, it were really bad. Or like the 80s rock band that was burned in the fire.
Whitesnake?
Yeah.
Oh, they survived.
No, it wasn't Whitesnake. No, it was another one where a lot of people died.
Yeah, a lot of people died.
Oh.
Oh, what band was that? Striper? The one that Ted Cruz is in?
No. Striper's still alive.
No, the band
and the lead singer's a Zodiac killer.
Yeah.
The band didn't die. A lot of people died.
Yeah, it was Whitesnake.
Maybe. I don't know.
Right. Even though it is my question, I was trying to find like a really like hardcore
again
really bad answer because it's a good question for the listeners and the people at the table. I lead a less interesting life.
No, you do not. You go to a lot of shows and it is a really good question.
It is a really good question. How about this one? Because I thought this was funny and this isn't so much horribly gone wrong. And it's very humorous. I went to
Great White. I apologize.
Great White, not White Snake.
Great White.
White Snake's still alive.
Yeah.
I remember taking my brother and sister to essentially what was like their first show. I think it was a Vans Warped Tour. It was a festival of some type. It was a day fest. I'm pretty sure it was Warped Tour. And we went to Warped Tour and having a good old time. It was during the day. Warped Tour is just a punk rock music festival. Every band's got like 30 minutes on the stage. Lots of ska, lots of, you know, all kinds of good stuff. And the band at the time that this thing actually happened was the band, ska rock band Save Ferris, which is no longer around. Very No Doubt-esque band, female lead, very typical of a ska type of band thing. And the awkward thing for me that happened was that I ran into a friend and she was with other friends and it was like, hey, how's it going? Nice to see you. Great times. Everyone's having a great old time. Oh, this is my brother and sister. They're having a good time too. Da 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 da. And so introductions were made. And then in the middle of Save Ferris's set, the lead singer starts encouraging everybody to start taking off their shirts.
Yeah.
Men and women alike. Like, boys, take off your shirts. Now, girls, take off your shirts. And because it was a, like, kiddie, like, to me, like, a kiddie punk rock show, like, for kids, I thought it was a little weird. And to me, if I was just by myself or with other people.
Was it an all-ages show?
Yeah, it's an all-ages show.
So it's an all-ages show.
Yeah, that's what I thought was a little peculiar.
That is pretty weird.
That's not good.
So, shirts are flying off. Dudes' shirts are flying off. No problem. Girls' shirts are flying off. But, you know, they're wearing, they still have their bras or their, you know, bikinis or underwear shirts, whatever. And then the classic titties flopping everywhere, which is like a little weird for me because I'm with my younger brother and sister. Right. So it's super
weird.
Who were
very young at the time.
Who were young at the time. Yeah. Like in my mind, they just seem younger.
Either way, not
appropriate. It was just super. If I was by myself, I'd be, fuck yeah, I'm just sit back. I mean, I was just like.
Did you say, hey, Krusty, don't you hate pain?
And so what made it really weird was that my friend and her friends that I would just introduce my brother and sister to, not just a few feet away, straight up topless, like riding like on top of like two other people. And it was just like, again, I'm all right. Like, okay, we're all adults.
But we're not.
But we're not. Yeah. Exactly. So I had the weird...
having to take your shirt off in front of your younger...
Sorry, guys. He told me to.
Yeah. So at the time, I don't think anyone really minded or cared, and it's fine. And, like, my brother and sister were like, all right. Like this is... like, this is what it's all about, like, essentially.
Sure.
But I did have the weird, okay, I'm, like, the guardian of this particular day, and... like we're surrounded by like a sea of titties and shit. The runner up would be the drummer of the Locust barfing in a bucket, but I think that was
badass. I was there with you.
I think that's just part of the show.
And he did that in Austin too.
Yeah, he did. He plays so hard and so intense that he ends up puking.
They
in a
have
bucket.
Masks on though too.
Yeah, exactly.
My answer. It was a great question, and I thought a lot about it because I've been. At many concerts and many things have gone wrong. I've talked about the story about me grabbing a guy off my sister at the 7 Mary 3 concert.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Are you tripping balls at the fucking...
At the White Zombie concert.
Which classic.
Which you can hear on the Candy Cigarettes podcast, Brandy Dunnigan's Candy Cigarettes podcast. Check that out for that story.
Andy.
But I'll tell you where things went awry. I don't keep it too much of a secret that I was a big Limp Bizkit fan in the...
Sure.
And the turn of this millennium, in the turn of the millennium, me and Andy were both pretty decent Limp Bizkit fans, and Limp Bizkit was responsible for a lot of things. Maybe not responsible, but we're basically the poster children for a really bad part of human existence. You know, they were there at the 99 Woodstock for all the rapes. And there's Fred Durst on top of a torn down piece of wood, literally crowd surfing, which, you know, hurt a lot of people, and he was there on top of it. I still like the band. I showed Regan for the first time Limp Bizkit we drove to Austin?
Yeah.
Yeah, we drove to Austin, and Regan got to hear what a bad rapper Fred Durst was.
God,
I was
so
like,
bad.
The band is great. I still stand by him, but Fred Durst is terrible. So I'm at the Limp Bizkit concert. This time it was at Sunken Gardens, and what Limp Bizkit brought out was the non-rock fans. The fans that, you know, were either into hip-hop or into just whatever was on the radio. So being in San Antonio, you know, there was a bunch of Tommy shirts tucked into Tommy jeans with, you know, Skechers boots with the khaki metal on the heel and lots of gelled hair and anchors, gold anchors on top of gold chains. You know, the whole fucking, you know, dirty fucks that probably liked freestyle more, but Doug, because they also did it all for the Nookie. And when a pit would start, and this was like, you know, in the downtrend of the pits, I don't think these, I don't want to call them cholos. I just, you know, Bud Lights, Tina, our friend Tina coined that term.
They're just called Bud Lights.
A bunch of Bud Lights.
A bunch of fucking Bud Lights. When she said it, I was like, that's fucking on. They did a nail on the head.
A bunch of Bud Lights.
So these Bud Lights take off their, you know, Tommy polo shirts with their, you know, wife beaters on. They look at each other and they say, are we going to do this? Sure, they're going to do this. I guess they wanted to try a pit out for the first time. And instead of doing what you do in a pit and just kind of like go crazy and jump around and you're just bumping into people, they decide to throw punches. And now I'm not saying they go out there crazy into the music. No, they take boxer stances and just start fucking punching dudes in the nose. And so then people start, you know, moving them, and that's what they thought you were supposed to do.
Yeah,
I could see it in their eyes that they were like, okay, this is what.
Yeah, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong?
Yeah, white boys don't know how to fight, apparently. So they were just fucking socking people.
Awesome.
Like awesome. Left and right, and all these people were just like, what the fuck, man? What the fuck? And
what are you doing?
Yeah, pretty much. And like, yeah, I'd say about. There were a good four deep each of dudes that probably got their noses broken because these fucking, you know, shrimp earring wearing motherfuckers just went in there and started fucking jabbing people. So, yeah, I was just in the bag with knuckle deep.
Yeah.
So, knuckle deep.
So were they. They were like fist deep.
Yeah. But they're knuckle deep.
They're knuckle deep too. So. All right.
Mine's not that
bunch
funny.
Of butt lights.
Mine's not that funny or bad. It's just one of those things that happens. Years ago, I had a buddy named Sean who played in the punk rock band up in Austin. I used to go check out a lot of shows up in Austin in the waybacks, like early 2000s.
Yeah. Turn of the millennium.
And it was one of those things to where, you know, some band, it wasn't his band, it was some other random band, and some bands, they like to drink and play, and they were known for getting drunk and going playing, and they sounded fine. But when you're in a three-piece punk rock band, you know, you got a drummer, a bassist, and a guitarist, and everyone's drunk and flopping around, and they're doing that thing to where they're leaning on each other and they're playing their music, and then just kind of it's a rowdy little three-piece group. Can't even remember what the name was, but just twirling around, the guitarist just fell off the stage and cracked his head on like a speaker or the stage, and it was really bad. And it's one of those things where if you had another guitarist or if it was the bassist that kind of got hurt, like you could probably keep playing the rest of the song.
You can local H it.
But when you're a three-piece punk rock band and your lead guitarist goes out.
Lead and only.
Yeah. Song kind of over. Like, and so.
Wait, who was the singer?
The bassist was a singer.
They're fine.
No, sadly they weren't.
There's a couple of those later, and you're going to go.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
But no, The dude played it. They kind of tried to play. It was one of those things where you could see the bass player, the singer bass player playing and like singing, and you're like, oh, he'll get back up. He'll get back up. Okay, we can finish the song. I'll just finish. All right, he's not getting up. Oh, okay.
Let me at least finish this song.
And then they finished the song. They finished the song. And then it was like, hey, man, you okay? And then people are like, nah, he's hurt. He's hurt. Like, you hear people in the... It wasn't that big of a show, so it was like...
Right.
Okay, all right.
This next one's called Falling Off! So,
you know, everyone there is almost friends of everybody in the band, so it became a fun over. Like, yeah. We're all concerned about this guy. He's our friend.
Yeah, Jason's hurt. We got to take him to the doctor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so... He was drunk and he I don't know what ended up what happened to that dude. I'm sure he was fine, but
he works at Napa.
He died and got a job at Napa.
He works at Napa now.
But luckily, bright side of totally the thing, center. It was like another band went on 20 minutes. Like, it was like, all right, he's okay, let's take him off, and the next band up. And then it was just, all right, we're back, yay! What happened to Jason? I don't know. Yeah! So, it was I'm sure it's something that happens.
Pick it up!
I would like to think it's something that happens at least once a night in America. At some place, it's bound to happen. Some dude gets drunk and falls, and so that night it was that dude and whatever band.
The Argonauts?
I have no clue. I don't know if it was something with fingers or I don't know.
The Converse Chucks.
Converse Chucks.
Chain wallets.
So that's it. It was nothing special. But it was like, oh, song over.
What about you, Dub C?
Well, man, I really love a good mosh pit. I would have loved to have been at that one up with the Bud Lights.
Oh, man, you would have fucking started choke slamming them. Like,
yeah.
You know what you would have been in a mosh pit? You would have been the Guardians of the Galaxy when they're about to, like, when they open up the stone and there's fucking, what's his name, Ronin? Like, that would have been you. You would have been Ronin with everyone just spinning around you.
Love that. I always run against the mosh pit.
Oh, yo, you go Australian? Yeah. You go clockwise?
Yeah. Right in the fucking eye of the tornado, dog.
Yeah.
Love it. But when I was 17, I went to La Huacha Tour with Molotov.
Oh.
You guys know Molotov, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard of them. Molotov, yeah.
Yeah. But they had this Café Tacuba and this other kind of hippie band. It was like the equivalent of...
Juanes?
Café Tacuba.
Café Tacuba was good.
No.
Okay. I've heard of them.
I've heard of Molotov.
They had a female lead singer who looked just like a star child.
And, right on.
And me and my friends were getting rowdy. All these Mexican guys, I guess they don't really mosh. So we started moshing and started pushing the crowd. And we started throwing water bottles at the stage.
Damn it.
And they're at the
Café Tacuba people?
No, not the Café Tacuba.
Oh, okay.
Those guys get respect.
That's so mean. I was like, that's so mean.
No, at the woman.
At
the woman
she
singer.
She just happened to be on stage at the time.
Yeah, that's her fucking fault.
She got really emotional and got sad. And she's like, no, this is, you know, it's all about peace. And they're all of them is like, we're not going to play if you guys keep throwing stuff. We kept throwing stuff and we started lighting things on fire.
I was just about
at
to
a
say.
Molotov show. It's so appropriate. I'm sorry, it is.
Wait, did you really light things on fire?
Oh yeah,
it became a prison riot. We started soaking toilet paper and alcohol.
We grabbed all the pamphlets that they were handing out at the door and for the after party. And we just made a big thing in the center, lit it on fire, started skanking really hard.
Wow,
and dust was just everywhere.
Fuck, how did you make the fire? You just kind of held like a ball of paper really hard?
Fire!
And then...
No, I grabbed this dude's joint, pushed his face away from it, and then lit the fire.
Use his jaws of Flintstone. The two dudes' heads just rubbing them together like Flint Rock.
You'll have a gay old time.
And they got like a buzz cut, so it's just like the friction of their fucking...
their stubble.
Their hair's got that fucking gorilla mocha or whatever.
Mocha
gorilla, yeah. Just fucking rock hard gel hair.
Damn. So how many people died at this? Like, what was the final tally for?
Oh, man. I don't know, but the security. Unconfirmed.
I don't know. Can't tell you.
Yeah,
next thing I know,
so
were you there for Molotov?
Oh, yeah. I stayed the whole time. Cafeteria came out, and then Molotov came out, and they started chanting puto, and they got really rowdy.
Fuck.
God,
Carlos.
Man. Yeah.
No shots fired, though, right?
No shots fired, no. Just a lot of punches and pushing and a little bit of crowd surfing. All the good stuff.
Do you have a good time?
I always have a good time at those kind of things when I'm just like violently clashing against other people. They're so polite too. If you fall, they just pick
they'll
you up.
They'll pick you up.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's a good show.
Yeah, you get an elbow in the chin. Yeah, these Bud Lights, you would have fought them. You would have had a fight with the Bud
Lights. Yeah, because they can tell the difference.
Oh, yeah. I always pick out that one guy in the crowd who likes a cheap shot. I'm watching you, dude. And then I get in and spear him.
Yeah, fucking straight up rhino style.
No, just like with a spear.
Oh,
like what an actual.
Not a wrestling
like that scene at the end of 300. Yeah, like, yeah, I take off my helmet just so I can see a little bit clearer.
Sure. Yeah, he doesn't miss. You actually fucking nail that motherfucker.
And whether it's like a tree branch or a pipe from like the thing keeping you off the stage.
Or some other gorgeous spear.
Yeah, you Roman soldier him. Your Pantera sword in there, just swish.
Somebody's leg bone as a. It was a fucking stabbing weapon.
He speared him.
Wow. Well, that's good.
Yeah, all I did was see titties. That's, yeah, man. It's like live vicariously through Carlos.
We all do.
Yeah.
You know, I bought you a present, Jesper.
God damn it.
What about those Facebooks?
Facebook answers. Shaggy from Poodle Slam said, Woodstock, 1999.
Oh, no.
Pretty much
everything
went wrong.
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
Yeah, that was, oof. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it was great, man. Sorry about,
Travis K says.
He brought water. He's fine.
Travis K says, my brother and I went to see Death Clock in Austin. And the second band was some emo thrash band whose sole purpose was to make the audience destroy itself. The mosh sucked my then 14-year-old brother into the fold, and I had to go in after him. We wound up thrashing the hell out of a few people before escaping. At the time, we didn't expect to mosh, which freaked us out, but in hindsight, it was pretty badass.
All right.
Yeah.
Turned out well.
Good times.
Greg Forrest said, I hit my forehead on the floor of Sneakers Nightclub.
Yeah.
Wow.
When
down
came here in 95. People were stage diving during the opening band set, and I figured, when in Rome, do stupid stuff.
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah, dude. Damn, bro.
Yeah. Sneakers.
Brotherhood of Eternal Sleep, motherfucker.
Jumped off the stage and smashed your head.
1, 2, 3, 4!
That's super joint.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That's my bad.
Andrew Thomas says, went to see Streetlight Manifesto in Norfolk, Virginia with Judson Cooper and some other losers. We drove 6 hours, and when we got there, one of our party's girlfriends got sick. So him and her spent the entire show in the van, missing the show completely. They weren't sick, baby.
That's right, man.
They had the van to themselves, Andrew.
That's right. They call them brass knuckles.
What? What?
Because she came all over his knuckles.
Why is it brass?
Because like it's kind of piss colored.
What?
Smells like brass.
She was sick. Like they missed the show and she was sick. It actually wasn't fun.
Man, my dick ain't sick.
That's.
You're Carlos. Carlos.
Yeah, but you're just feeding into that, Larry. Justin Cooper says, my roommate and I got jumped going to a Halloween show 2 years ago. That sucked, but we still had a good time at the show.
Oh, man.
Got jumped.
Were they like wearing like
did they beat you up? Like getting jumped is
skeleton
like...
Skeleton costumes? You got kicked up against a fence?
He dressed as a shower.
Marvin Lanier said, my very first concert, my mother dropped me off so that I could go meet a girl. Except this was at the racetrack. We stayed there all day, but the concert was not scheduled to start until 9. Then, right about 9, my mother showed up.
Damn it.
With security. To
what?
Drag me out of there in front of my date.
No!
Embarrassing.
That's
That sucks, Marvin. I'm sorry.
No! Yeah. No, unacceptable.
And then Say Ferris went on stage. And then she takes her shirt off.
Yeah, like everyone take your shirt off.
Marley.
God damn.
Alfred Perez says, my friend's boyfriend was performing in his band. Before she got there, I saw him with his face and hands all over this other chick behind stage. Mm. I couldn't tell her. Fortunately, a week later, she found out. She never forgave me for not telling her sooner, and I deserved it.
It's all your fault that you cheated on her.
Yeah, Freddie. Jenny Matisek says, Summerfest a few years back, if you don't know, it's the big music fest in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Went to see AWOL Nation, and the power went out in the middle of the set for like 10 minutes. I was working at the radio station that sponsored the stage, and we were like, what the hell? Power came back, but they played one song and left. Pretty lame, but at least the show is free.
Did they go AWOL?
Wow. Yep.
Huh? And Tyler
Brass West. Knuckles.
Yeah. Cum knuckles, dude.
No, that's still not a thing.
That's not a thing.
Making it a thing. No. I started the Thor dick jokes.
Now, well, no. And ended with the Thor dick jokes.
Ass knuckles?
That, okay, yes, now that's we're talking.
All right.
We're talking.
Covered in brass, man. No.
Yeah.
Tyler Lutz simply says, RIP Dimebag.
Oh, so, he was.
Were you at that show?
He wasn't at that show.
Maybe that he was. Maybe he was.
If you were, dude, I'm sorry.
Damage plan should have never happened.
There's so many levels of why that sucks so much.
Many levels.
Ultimate.
But
like,
then there wouldn't, if it wasn't for that happening, there
couldn't
be
that comment.
There wouldn't be no Cowboys from El Paso.
No, there'd still be Cowboys from El Paso.
They fucking ruled.
What is hell? Yeah, tell our listeners what Cowboys from El Paso is.
Look it up. Pantera tribute band.
Guess
hopefully
where
they come.
Guess where they're from.
They're from El Paso. Just
okay. As you saw them in Corpus, so I thought maybe it was just a fun pun, but they actually are from El Paso.
I wish they weren't from El Paso.
I wish they were from like Wisconsin.
Cowboys from El Paso. Fuck you. We're from Texas. Where are you guys from? Yeah, we're from Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, things turn out to be really bad at the end of the gig in the movie Green Room.
Green Room.
Looks sweet. Patrick Stewart, skinhead. People fucking shit up. Broken arms. Stabby stuff. Looks gross, gruesome, gritty, ugly. Looks cool. I like it. So Green Room. Yeah, I'm going to look into that.
I guess.
Make it so.
So now it's time for another edition of Dad's Cornered.
Yeah.
There we are on Dad's Corner, making dreams come true.
Stop counting coupons and get involved in Daddy's Corner, bitch! Yay.
So, Carlos, we've discussed you are a father.
That's right.
So we have evened the playing fields while Jess eats some more of his gummy shit.
Goddamn.
Good stuff. And my question today on Dad's Corner is, what is your favorite children's movie or TV show that you actually really like, that you could watch without your children? The reason why I'm bringing that up is because we just got Netflix.
Yes!
Yeah!
Oh, my God.
Welcome to 2005, motherfuckers!
Yeah, cut the cable cord, dog.
You know how Jess feels. Oh, no. Oh, okay. Cut the cable cord. They're going to fuck up our cell phone bill if we do. But Mikey wanted to see Fuller House.
Wow, what turned the tide, huh?
Well, we had a month free.
Right, of Netflix. Oh,
okay. Right. Andy wanted to see the Pee Wee movie.
That's coming soon. Yeah.
I wanted to see the Mister shows.
Yes.
Right. So, and then Gunner, fucking
just movie out.
Whatever, dude.
Movie out, dog.
Penguin's a mad of fucking Gascar, dude.
You can watch Daredevil.
Watch Daredevil, dude.
I'll probably never watch it.
Yeah.
I saw How to Make a Murderer.
You can watch it on your phone now.
I know, man. It's awesome. So, everyone talked a lot of shit about Fuller House, and I was an avid Full House fan when I was a kid, and I've talked about it on a podcast before. Mikey became a hardcore Full House fan.
Yeah.
And so when I watched Fuller House, it's not that bad. It's funny. It's just like Full House. The puns and are bad.
What catchphrases? What is the criticism of Fuller House?
Yeah. Which I find really funny, that the criticism that I heard about Fuller House is that it was corny.
Exactly. What
and
were
I'm like, it's fucking Full House. And like, I saw it and they had like, they broke out in this choreographed dance, which was a little cringeworthy, but they did the Urkel in the fucking episode. There is a lot of like split screen. So the thing about it is that it was directed by Jeff Franklin, who was the creator of the original. So it's kind of like Mad Max Fury Road, in my opinion.
Fury Road of Full House.
Honestly, it's the guy who did the original. So it had the same feeling of the original. And the thing I really liked about it is that Stephanie and Gibbler and DJ have the exact same dynamic that fucking Danny, Jesse, and Joey did. Like Stephanie,
that's the plot of the show.
I mean, DJ's husband died. He was a firefighter, right? Danny was going to sell the house and move to LA with his chick. Joey is a successful stand-up comedian in Vegas. Uncle Jesse and Aunt Becky fucking live in LA, and the boys go to fucking college. So they all got together because DJ's husband had just died. And then, you know, Stephanie is funny enough because I've mentioned this in the podcast too. She is a DJ. She is a world touring DJ.
Wow.
And her DJ name is DJ Tanner.
Stealing your joke.
So they say that and they have this fight between her and DJ. She's like, no, I'm DJ Tanner. She's like, well, technically, you know, I own the rights to DJ Tanner.
Jesus.
So it was funny. And then they all decide to help out DJ, and then Danny says, I'm not going to sell this house. You can have it. And so,
man, in this economy in San Francisco?
Yeah, no, they even made that joke too. Like, they don't miss anything. And
yeah.
Like, Uncle Jesse goes, do you know how much this house is worth now? And then he's like, no, it's her, and my daughter needs our help, right? And it was cute because, you know, Jesse and Joey and Becky were like, well, all right, well, we'll cancel our moving and we'll stay and help you and all this sort of stuff. Like, they were willing to do it and they were like, no, you already did it for us. So Jesse, Joey, and Danny aren't even part of the fucking season. It's about
the
DJ and her kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they decide to like live with her. And it's funny because Kimmy Gibbler is corny. She owns a party planning business, right? And then Stephanie's a musician who's super hot, just like Uncle Jesse was. And she goes on all these dates and come home. It's the same dynamic.
Interesting.
It's super interesting. And then, like, there's all these cameos from, like, old episodes. And they show the flashbacks from the old episodes. And it's charming as fuck.
It's the Fury Road of Full House.
It's the Fury Road
Empowering
of
women.
Full House. Yeah, it is.
And so what is the become of the baby?
Well, they break the fourth wall because they say, where's Michelle?
Mm-hmm.
And then DJ says, well, like, talk to her. And she's really busy with her fashion empire in New York. And they all look at the camera and they're like,
yeah,
really?
Yeah.
You know, and so because that's why she didn't do
that
thing.
Exactly.
And so it makes sense, and they have, you know, goofy experiences. Steve comes back, the voice of Aladdin. To be fair, I've been binge watching this with Mikey because she's like in love with it. There's the jokes are a little cheekier because it's on Netflix, so they make like cum jokes and they get hit in the balls and that sort of thing. But there's a lot of breaking the fourth wall. There's a lot of, you know, inside jokes. Like, Steve comes back and he takes DJ on a date and he's like, we're going to have a 90s day and all this stuff. And he goes, I have Alanis Morissette ready to play. And then she goes, you know who that song was about? Like, it was, you know.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
You got it, bro?
I get it.
Yeah. They call
it. About, I can show you the
Dave word. Dave Coulier, dog.
It was about him.
I met him.
You
I was going to open for him.
You were
and
open
he was
for
like,
bed.
Fuck you, man.
I brought my own guy, motherfucker.
I go, is his dick made of wood? And so.
Ass knuckles.
Yeah. Brass knuckles, man, because they come on the. So the internet's called it Fuller Blouse because of Stephanie Tanner's giant tits. She has big fake tits and she kind of shows them off. Gibbler's Gibbler. And
love me some Gibbler. Well, no, I don't like Gibbler's.
It's not a bad show. It really isn't.
Well, no, it's here's the thing. It's not a bad show if you're a fan of Full House. It's baffling to
you. That's exactly it.
It's baffling to you that Full House fans found it to be lame.
Full House was lame.
Yeah. Whereas I did not like Full House, so I would not like it.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, okay.
So, no, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
You would.
But I get it, though. Like, why? Like, if you like the original Full House, why? I don't understand why you.
They're like they, you know, oh, they forced the catchphrases is like catchphrases are forced, period.
It's like people complaining about Mad Max. He didn't say that much. He didn't have much dialogue. Whereas, did you see Mad Max Road? He didn't say shit in that either. And
yeah.
That kind of thing.
You know what I really liked about Mad Max Fury Road? Because I finally saw it.
Oh, okay.
The car chase was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So,
there you go.
My question is, you know, is there a kid show that you like? And I'm not going to use my answer for that. And I'm probably stealing.
Wait,
Regan's.
Full House is a kid's show?
Fuller House or the original Full House?
Both. Yeah, I'd say both.
Full House was a family show. It was TGA Friday.
We literally all watched it together and Gunner was playing his DS.
But it's a family show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just clarifying, your question was a kid's show.
No. So this is kid's show. Okay. So my answer is what kid's show or movie do you genuinely like? And my answer, and I'm sorry if I'm taking this from you, Regan, is Steven Universe.
Yeah.
Was that
what you've
your
talked
answer?
About.
It's like the only thing I want. That's because you put the word current.
Which, but it's also your answer for when we talked about deep children's shows.
Exactly.
So, yeah. No, it's just I know I use it a lot, but God damn it if it's not really, really fucking cool. But I'd rather hear Regan talk about why he likes it, since you've heard about why I like it so much. So I will then move it.
What about, well, here's what about, you also said kids movie.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
that's,
you watch a ton more kids movies.
I watch every kids movie
that ends up that
comes out. No, fucking all of them. I watch every single one. And the one, I won't say movie because I like all the Pixar movies that come out.
Right.
I genuinely like them. Right. They're fun. But I really also like Clarence. And it's a Cartoon Network show. It's a kid's show. And it's about this elementary school kid named Clarence who is just Captain Silver Lining. And the weird thing about Clarence is, you know, he's this fat kid. And he's like, all right. Oh, that's awesome. And if like someone's kind of poor.
Right.
And, you know, they bring their lunch and their lunch is like a poor kid's meal. He's like, oh, sweet. PB&J for lunch. That's my favorite. Like,
wait, this is a live?
No, this is a cartoon.
Cartoon movie.
This is a cartoon show.
Show.
Yeah, because I'm saying movies.
Sorry.
I watch most. So my other favorite show that I like to watch is Clarence.
Called Clarence.
Yeah. And it's a fat kid who has a single mom who lives with his mom's boyfriend. Like, it's not even like, yeah. And then he has a friend named Sumo who is white trash to the max.
What show is this? What channel?
Cartoon Network.
Cartoon Network.
Sumo was black t-shirt and jeans, shaved head, talks like this, right? Like I'm Sumo. And like he has like five or six brothers and sisters. His dad's white trash as fuck. Then there's this nerdy kid who goes to their school who's a germaphobe, you know, and it's this funny dynamic because they just like to have fun, and Clarence is such this lighthearted, non-judgmental, silver lining kid. And what's funny is when it can get to be a gross out show. It could get to be like they go out on little adventures, and it's in this urban environment. It's like an urban background. Like one kid lives in a trailer. They live in an apartment. When they go have fun, they're playing at dumpsters and alleyways. They go to like fast food restaurants, playing the ball pit, and it's all dirty. Like it's like a real life kind of every kid can relate, you know, show.
Yeah.
And he is nothing but positive.
Right.
So it's funny when you watch it, because just like Steven Universe, how Steven's just, you know, the epitome of just everything's going right. The only difference is he lives in a beach city.
Right.
Right. Where Clarence fucking basically lives in Detroit or something like that. Like one of those equivalents. So I enjoy watching it because it teaches the kids that not everything sucks, not everything's bad, to look at the good in it. So
what's interesting is that like on a weird you know, a lot of kids shows that are coming out as of late, including Steven Universe and even going back as far as like Powerpuff Girls,
yeah,
they're all have an anime influence in some sense.
Yeah.
And so Clarence looks like a really like just the art style a little bit, it looks a lot like a super popular cartoon in Japan called Crayon Shin-chan, mm-hmm. which is essentially like Crayon Shin-chan's almost like the Japanese Bart Simpson.
Right.
Like he's a little – like he's mischievous. He gets in trouble. He's mm-hmm. – his parents are kind of like – they're not like the Simpson parents, but they're not perfect. Right. And it's just what you described. Like it's – not poor, but just like average, everyday kid kind of cartoon. And I kind of, I'd have to see the cartoon, but it's the influence of it. The difference is that Crayon Shin-chan's like Bart Simpson. It's not dirty, but it's mischievous. It's a little bit more cheeky.
Right.
But still, it's a kid's show. Like in Japan, it's a.
That's a bare butts.
Yeah, bare butts. Yeah, but like that passes as family humor in Japan. But yeah, it's yet another show that takes the influence from like the people who drew them probably like saw or grew up on or got into, you know, anime shows. And then that art style kind of bleeds into these new cartoons, which is a cool thing, actually. Like, it's pretty neat.
No, yeah, because you can see that the animators totally were like into anime, and that's where they got a lot of their inspiration from. Were you going to say?
Yeah, I was going to. My answer would have been Steven Universe.
But I want to hear why.
Well, you know, you talked it up a bunch, and I was like, whatever. It sounded kind of weird, but the more you explained it, the more it sounded kind of interesting. And I watched it. I binge-watched it on YouTube, I think. And it's a really good show for all the reasons that you said. It was – Steven comes from, like, a weird he only has a dad, sort of, and his dad's not the greatest dude, but he's not a bad dad. Like, his dad loves him a ton, but he's just, he owns a car wash. Yeah. And Steven's just like, yeah, super positive. He lives with three emeralds. It's such a hard thing to, that's the thing. It's really hard to explain, but it's a super awesome show. Super female empowerment.
Absolutely.
Super, love empowering, as far as like, they don't say it's any sort of lesbian relationships. They don't say,
but there's nothing wrong with two women embracing each other.
There's nothing wrong with two females loving each other, fighting for each other. It's just, it's all very, very sort of like metaphysical, sort of all the emeralds have powers. Really hard to describe, but like you said, it was super, super deep. It's super cool. It's actually just also really cool. Like, there's this one scene where, what's her name? The Garnet, like, raps and fights at the same time, and it's the coolest thing.
And she has this, she's a like a black girl with a British voice, so she's kind of like MIA a little bit.
It's just so cool, and she's like rapping and fighting, and it's just awesome, and the music's very, very integral into it. Like, you can actually go to YouTube and just type in all music scenes from Steven Universe, and it'll put them all together. And there's adorable songs. There's very lighthearted, touching, loving songs. There's like really fun, cool rock songs. There's that hip hop song. It's a very musical show as well. There's just a ton of great things about it. And it's got one of my favorite characters of all time, which is Tiger Millionaire, yeah, which isn't even a character. It's Steven from Steven Universe. He gets the play a bad guy as a wrestler, like a wrestling manager, local wrestling manager. And the character he comes up with is Tiger Millionaire, which is the best name ever. All he does is he puts the tiger nose on, and he has a dollar sign tie, and he carries a briefcase full of money, and he's a dick. And it's so funny because he's such a nice kid in real life.
Yeah.
He gets to be a jerk. He gets to be a jerk, and he's so good at it. It's so freaking funny. It's hilarious.
You really need to give it a chance, Justin. You'll be proud.
Yeah, eventually. It's not that I'm not interested in it. I just haven't given it.
You'll be proud to hear that it's sci-fi, right? Sci-fi fantasy.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah.
Sci-fi.
But that's not the only one show that's like that. There's a lot of kids shows that follow the same kind of deal.
No, I'm not saying that it is, but I'm just saying that I don't like sci-fi.
But you like it because it's sci-fi fantasy.
It's on another level of fun. It's really, really cool. If you haven't watched it, those of you listening, and you got some time and you're looking for a new show to binge watch, just go to YouTube and start Steven Universe for the beginning.
Yeah, Jess is going to watch it. He goes, oh, that was obviously a ripoff of Suchuman, Hoppy Han.
Even if it is,
it's exactly that. That's exactly why I wouldn't like it. Because it's a ripoff of that. That is not true, actually.
Suchuman von Digi Hey Hey.
Desu.
Yeah.
God. That's not the reason why I wouldn't like a show. Unless it's blatantly horrible. No, and it's not blatantly horrible. It looks great.
It's
not.
It's really, really good.
It looks great.
Gonna hate it.
It's on YouTube. I'm sure they're like 15-minute episodes, so you don't have to like commit. If you just want to like watch one little 15-minute episode, you can watch it. And it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Jason?
There's actually, seemingly, I would like a bunch of kids shows, and I thought about it. I'm like, well, the truth is, I actually don't. Like, there's kids movies that come out, but I don't like all of them. Like, I don't. Like, I do see it through an adult lens, and I go, I don't like that. That's specifically for children. Because a lot of, like you're saying, Pixar movies are family movies. They made them with the intention of being universally, like, liked by a family. A lot of animation films from America were made for that intention, so, you know, the whole family can go see it. That's why they're voiced by, like, famous people. Yeah, yeah. So it draws in adults, and they have something to relate to. A three-year-old doesn't give a fuck that Jack Black is the voice of Kung Fu Panda. He just likes the character and likes the movie, whereas an adult can kind of enjoy it and stuff. So I at first I was like, oh, I like every cartoon like for kids. And truth is, I don't. Like, I really don't. Like, there's a lot of stuff that just – it's for kids. But thinking about, like, what's out currently that is out for kids that has crossed over, and I haven't even like totally finished watching it. It's like a whole show fascination before Steven Adventure is like Adventure Time. And I haven't even finished Adventure Time. Like, I enjoy it. It's great. And I look at it and go, no, this was made for kids, but the reason why I like it, or I could see it from a kid's point of view, is because the sense of of silliness and adventure and story continuation, which is something I appreciate hearing about Steven Universe, is that shows for kids, it's cool to have a serial show, the show that continues a storyline. Because even our cartoons from our childhood, they had a like a theme or a thread, but they didn't really have a storyline. And the Ninja Turtles cartoons didn't have a continuing storyline. The only story arc is like the first, like the pilot five episodes. After that, it's just adventures. But it's cool to see a show like Avatar and like all those shows that are made for kids to have an actual like continuing storyline. So that's why I was like really liking Adventure Time before like really getting into it. And like I like hearing about Steven Universe, that's why I'd like to watch it, is because I just like the idea of children get to experience a story arc, which is like really fucking nice. So
Where you wait seasons and then you're like, oh, that person was that.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's great because they have like fan theories of Steven Universe. Like that's really interesting.
Yeah, I like the ideas of like kids' cartoons and shit. Like I love Pokemon, but I've never seen anything beyond like I went to go see the movie in the theater because it's just like, oh, I want to see Pokemon because I love the concept of Pokemon. I never even played the game, but I fucking just love the concept, and I love the characters, and I love the creatures, and I love the fact that kids get down on it for so many reasons, because it's, I mean, the creatures are cool, it's fantasy, but then the actual game has like simple math and like complex rules, and it's really fascinating to see like a 5-year-old kid grasp the concept of playing Pokemon. Mm-hmm. Like that blows my mind, because that's like essentially like they're playing role-playing card games on a somewhat complicated level, but they're like really young. So I get down on that. So, but yeah, like that's like Kung Fu Panda comes on. I like love that. Like there's a good set of like, at first I wanted to say, I like everything, but I don't. It's kind of weird.
But
so
you like Kung Fu Panda?
I love Kung Fu Panda. Yeah. And I didn't expect to like Kung Fu Panda when I went to go see it.
The third one?
No, I still haven't seen the third one, but like even the second one, the second
Jay
one's
Palace
awesome.
Or
the one that just came out?
The one that just came out. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen that one either.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think as far as the latest, like, cartoon movies,
Kung Fu Panda is fun.
Kung Fu Panda is awesome. I love Kung Fu Panda. I mean, but again, that movie's made for, it was made for a family, and they purposefully made that movie to be entertaining for not just children, but
for adults.
All ages, which is the mark of a good movie, not just a kid's movie, but that's just a mark of a good movie, you know, so.
So Adventure Time, Kung Fu Panda.
Adventure Time is Kung Fu Panda, yeah, and like, the good Pixar movies.
Right on, like Cars.
No, not like Cars. Not like Cars. Cars is not a good movie. I don't like Cars. I watched it the second time, and then as much as I did not like Cars when I first saw it, was okay. I saw it a second time. I'm like, I really didn't like it. Like, I'd like negated me liking any of it to me like just like, oh, I don't like this at all. But that's because
so many questions.
Yeah, I don't know.
How do they get it on?
Huh?
How do they get it on?
Brass knuckles.
Yeah, fucking no. The fucking the
gas muffler. The muffler.
No, the gas fucking.
That's where they eat.
Yeah, that's technically they eat.
One of my favorite lines from The Simpsons was Milhouse goes, "If gas is their food, why do they have teeth?"
I love that.
He's right.
Though.
So Carlos Castro, you have children. You watch movies and TV shows with them, I'm sure.
All the time. And one particular show that encompasses a lot of these things that you guys enjoy is Gravity Falls.
Yes. I'm good answer. I'm so happy someone brought up Gravity Falls.
Yeah, Larry liked that one.
Gravity Falls is great.
It's got continuation of story. Mm-hmm. It's got mystery. It draws you in. It's got tons of fan base that made up all these weird theories, and they all sounded legit. Gravity Falls was legit. It was really well written. Yeah. Like it was written years in advance.
And it ended.
Oh, wow.
It had closure.
Yes. Yeah, that's what shows need, actually. That's
It had closure.
Is it on Netflix?
It was wrapped up.
I'm not sure.
It's on Hulu.
Okay.
It's a Disney show. Yeah.
Totally worth watching. No. So you watch it with your kids?
I watch it with my kids. Yeah. I watch it by myself.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
there's a lot of Gravity Falls cosplay. Like, we see a lot of Steven Universe cosplay. There's a lot of Gravity Falls and fan theories, too. What would you say was your favorite non-main character on Gravity Falls?
Oh, man, there's so many. I wanted to know so much more story about more like background story of the Northwest Manor and all the terrible things that family did. Because that was a hardcore show with all the taxidermy coming out. bleeding from their eyes with their ghost eyes and blood everywhere from their mouth, crawling on the floor. Hell? Dude, it was intense.
Gravity Falls gets fucking gnarly and real existential. Like, you think Steven Universe is deep. Fucking Gravity Falls, they have this Illuminati fucking triangle named Bill Cipher.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Well, I've seen people post about that.
Yeah, he comes out and fucking opens the minds of everybody and, like, gets into their brains. And he's like, now I'm going to switch around the orifices on your face. And, like, this one guy just has, like, ears for eyes. And he's just like...
Nightmare scenario.
And it's, like, I was like, is this a fucking too much for the kids? And no, they do it in such a way that's
a goofy way.
Goofy, but like there's an episode, like, what was the name of that shadow man that people were saying the kids were
Slenderman.
Slenderman's in it.
Slenderman reference.
Yeah. It's a reference and it's pretty good. Yeah. Or it could be a Maraca elf. I don't know.
Yeah. And there's ciphers. There's like fucking Zodiac ciphers at the end of every episode.
That's fucking awesome.
Dude, people were decoding this stuff. Pausing it, playing it backwards.
Yeah.
Of course, when one of the characters was talking in weird gibberish, all he was saying is backwards message.
No, he doesn't like a classic Anthrax, dog.
Yeah, no shit, dude. Dude, yeah, Gravity Falls is really, really
What's funny,
because,
like,
awesome.
I'm holding this Lego guy, and I didn't say the Lego movie, but because my mind conceives that as a family movie. Like, it isn't conceived as a kid's movie.
But see, but
it is a kid's movie, but I just, in my mind, I don't even think about it as a kid's movie because it's in
family
a rotation.
Movie.
And oh, I watch it too.
Yeah, no, but I would say Kung Fu Panda and Lego Movie count as kids' movies.
Sure, yeah,
those are totally towards kids with aspects that a family would enjoy.
Yeah,
they want parents to watch it with them.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
like
yeah.
You
yeah.
said earlier, but
yeah,
those are for kids.
Yeah, Lego Movie. I think that's one. That's fucking ridiculously awesome.
Everything is awesome.
Everything is
it's
awesome.
It's a weird sort of difference between saying what is a family movie and what is a kid's movie, you know?
Sure.
Like, to me, I don't know what, like, did any of you guys see The Good Dinosaur or whatever?
Yeah, I saw The Good Dinosaur.
I don't know, that seems like a kid's movie.
Well, the thing about Good Dinosaur that I thought is that it was a cowboy movie that, like,
yeah, it was like a Western.
Had a script.
Yeah.
And instead of a human, it was a dog. And the Pixar people went, hold on, scratch, let's make the cowboys dinosaurs. And instead of a wolf, we'll make the that
boy.
The caveman. And
all right,
there
makes
you go,
sense.
Green light. So, yeah. Though, Sam Elliott was really awesome as a T-Rex.
Well, yeah, Sam Elliott's voice, anytime he puts...
At a campfire, I think I've always wanted that to happen, and I didn't realize till The Good Dinosaur that it hadn't. So it was 100 degrees in the shade.
That's your scar.
Yeah.
Good.
And I didn't feel like dying that day. I was for the rest of the movies.
Yeah. I agree. It is jack-off motion.
Yeah. Right. Have you seen it?
No, I still haven't seen it.
Yeah.
I'm like, looking at that. And then I was like, excited because I'm like, oh, they spent years making it. And then the more that they started to show, I'm like, oh, I don't know. I'm going to bail
the
out.
Pixar theory.
It's like a bad, Stiller movie.
Yeah.
But
count me out.
No, it's The Revenant with a fucking brontosaurus.
And Ben Stiller.
You know what?
Instead of DiCaprio.
Actually, it's Madagascar. It's Madagascar quality.
There's a few. No. It's The Revenant in a Pixar movie because I swear to
With
God.
With Ben Stiller instead of DiCaprio.
Yeah, because there's scenes that, like, because I just saw The Revenant where it's straight up, he's hurt himself. He's living in this thing. Fucking, he gets attacked. I'm like, it's The Reverend, dog.
They made it for time, though. Reverend. It's The Reverend.
It's The Reverend.
All I got is good quality.
All right.
I was going to say, none of those have a Louis C.K. cameo, though.
Like, Gravity Falls does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's the head with the arm growing out. I mean, and it's Louis C.K. going, "Hey, come here, man, let me eat you. Get in my
seen
mouth.
That.
Get
yeah,
in my mouth.
Yeah, I've seen the clip.
Why are you not in my mouth?"
Yeah. All right, Travis K. says, "I love watching Wee Bear Bears on Cartoon Network.
Yeah,
it's a perfect balance of goofy kid stuff along with stuff that adults can laugh at. Mm-hmm. Also, weirdly, I like Doc McStuffins." Elena hasn't watched it yet, but I saw it before she was born and thought that a little girl casting her schizophrenic personas into her toys to help other toys was kind of charming. I don't know.
Doc McStuffins.
Yeah. Sonia Smith says, Simon in the Land of Chalk Drawings, old school Smurfs, and I'll still watch any Disney movie. Michael Rioja says, currently running, definitely Wee Bear Bears, Steven Universe, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Recent ones, though, Gravity Falls was definitely the best, but it ended not too long ago.
Yeah, new Turtles isn't bad. Like, the Nickelodeon CG Turtles is actually, like, I think it's fun. I think it's all right.
And Wee Bear Bears is very episodal. Like, you don't have to see it from the beginning.
Nice. Santos Juante says Gravity Falls is pretty awesome. Jose Hernandez says Happy Tree Friends.
Well, Happy Tree
Friends. That's the one where the cute things died, kill right? each other. Yeah.
Andrew, sure, kids, though.
Andrew Thomas says, I'm really into Star Wars Rebels and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, both being related to my own childhood, probably plays a part.
Right.
Yeah.
Shaggy from Puto Slam says, the Republican debates. Ho!
Strawberry jacuzzi.
No, don't encourage him.
He says, though, I wish the target audience was more junior high and less elementary school.
Oh yeah. Man. Tell Trump. Us about Woodstock again, yeah, Shaggy.
Trump on his nuts.
Judson Cooper says, Gravity Falls is pretty awesome. I'm pretty excited for Powerpuff Girls to come back,
yeah,
too.
I am as well.
Gunner currently plays with... Hulk Smasher,
Hulkbuster.
Thank you, Hulkbuster. With Mikey's Powerpuff Girls attacking it.
Yeah, I love Powerpuff.
Melissa Overstreet says, "Is Steven Universe a good show?" Yeah, it is. Well, that's kind of the point. Steven Universe. Alfred Perez says, "I really enjoyed Gravity Falls. I freaking loved it. Also, Steven Universe on the same plane. Both tops in my book." Victoria Acevedo says, "Does Sailor Moon Crystal count?"
Yeah, because it's new, and it's Sailor Moon.
It's her effing obsessions, he says. Susie Hamilton says, the Muppet movie with Jason Segel is so good. I also like the revamped Scooby-Doo Mystery Inc. cartoon on Netflix. I don't care for cartoons, but they hooked me with a zombie ska band episode. Of course, 90s. Jenny Modisek says, Steven Universe is my go-to, kids cartoon right now, but I'm also loving Star Wars Rebels and Guardians of the Galaxy cartoon on Disney XD.
That show ain't bad.
That's not bad.
Really? I've seen it?
I've seen a couple episodes. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And, of course, Gravity Falls ended perfectly. Wow, a lot of the Gravity. I'm going to have to watch Gravity Falls. Maggie Castillo-Ivan says, Inside Out is a great movie. Totally agree. And Kung Fu Panda 3 had a great storyline. So there's a vote for Kung Fu Panda 3.
Yeah, I'll have to see it there. Yeah, I was kind of like a weary of like the DreamWorks Part 3 syndrome. Because I like...
Shrek 3 is a shit.
Shrek 3 is fucking garbage. I'm going to say it, dude. I will get upset. Because I love me some Shrek. And Shrek 2, that was great.
Shrek 3 is just a Timberlake, man.
And fucking, I went to go see Shrek 3 in the theater, and it's like, I was so fucking pissed.
There's a problem right there.
I was so fucking pissed.
Oh, fucking, Monty Pythons are in it now.
They don't mean shit. Yeah. Movie's fucking garbage.
Everyone's British.
Finally, Tim Skaggs says, Phineas and Ferb, they get away with everything.
Yeah.
And Sarah Sharp says, it's old, but I still like the regular show.
All right. I was going to mention the regular show kind of over Adventure Time. The kids... Not that they're not allowed, but they have no interest in either of those shows. And I've tried to watch
shows?
Regular Show and Adventure Time. Okay. And I think those are more teenager shows. The same with Annoying Orange and fucking...
Annoying Orange, that's a show.
That one's pretty bad. But it's a little too gross out and nonsensical for me. But, you know... I don't really keep the kids away from, you know, too much stuff, you know, if they
There's no Beavis and Butthead and Ren Stimpy cartoons that are like
too much
out right now. I'm asking like as a genuine question.
No, I know.
Because
Gunner used to like goddammit.
Sanjay and Craig.
Thank you very much. Wow, thank you very much. He used to like Sanjay and Craig. But you know, then it started with the "you smell like a butt's butt," and we went up to farts, and I'm like, okay. And then when he was going to school and just saying people who smell like butt and like all that sort of shit, so we had to kind of cut off. But that's Nickelodeon.
Yeah, you know, the attitude of Nickelodeon lives on.
Yeah,
but nothing is ever as harsh as I guess. Well, no. So SpongeBob is still a thing. They still make SpongeBob, right?
SpongeBob's just annoying.
I don't like SpongeBob either. I've never have either.
Mr. Show alumni and everything is awesome with the voice of SpongeBob being Thomas Kinney. But other than that, like there's...
Yeah, I've never really got into
entertaining.
It. Yeah. There's where I pull my ripoff card.
Oh, it's a Ren and Stimpy ripoff.
That's where I pull off my... Like, I don't like that show because it's a...
Yeah, when I do close-ups, it's...
Like, I don't know the history of that show, but I've always felt like they made that show because Ren and Stimpy, they had no people making Ren and Stimpy anymore, so they made their own juice. Keep that formula going.
Yeah, and Adventure Time, you know, has some kind of, like, you know, and regular show, like, they go on, like, dates and fucking... It's weird, like... Yeah, just no interest in those shows. So, you know what, guys? If you got kids out there and, you know, you want to watch a show, you know, that is meant for them, but they don't really, you know, they're bored with it, then fucking watch the show. You know, you don't need kids to watch a kid's show. And if the kids want to watch a show that you don't like, it's your fucking TV, man. Do they pay the cable bill? No. No, I want to watch regular show. Well, you know what? I just got Netflix, and I want to watch Making a Murderer. Go to your room, because they say the word rape like 19 times.
Watch Daredevil.
Well, I'm on episode one of Making a Murderer.
Daredevil's good.
I believe you. It's not that I don't believe you. I need to watch Ip Man. So, guys, you're the one.
You can watch part two now, too.
I know, dude.
Yeah.
So listen up.
Making a Murderer.
That's my shit, man. It's true crime. Look, don't let your kids run your TV, man. You're the fucking boss.
That's it. That's it. Yeah. They watch what you fucking they're allowed to watch this thing.
Get into the shows that they watch so that they can watch it with you and you can have some family time is all I'm saying. So there's no fights over the fucking TV that's fucking yours anyway.
Right.
Parenting, man. Fuck it.
Oh, there it is. Man,
fucking cares your fucking TV.
All right. And now it is time for my segment called Hey, That's Not Funny, where we talk about not funny stuff. And today I'm excited. I found a article, a research journal for the first time from my alma mater. So this is the first I read research journals and articles to find out what's going on in all the different fields of psychology, science, anything. And so this was the first one. I was actually surprised. Comes from UTSA, the University of Texas at San Antonio. It is a study that explored how to increase productivity by stopping cyberloafing. Exactly. So this was the first time I heard this term. Cyberloafing.
Like, taking a shit while on the computer is like...
I would like to first hear what you guys think is what cyberloafing.
Cyberloafing is taking a shit like when you're like, cybering, but now you're cyber shitting. You're cyberloafing.
Cyberloafing and is not trolling, but just kind of hanging on people's threads, not contributing and just wasting time. That's mine. What do you think?
Cyberloafing is when you have a PCA car that overheats. Because you don't have adequate cooling ducts, and you can
bake bread.
The unit gets so hot.
I think I know what cyberloafing really is, but yeah.
Like, no, taking a shit on the internet.
Yeah.
I like it.
Now, cyberloafing is something that costs hundreds of millions of dollars in lost productivity in the United States. It's when people, instead of working, are on the internet.
Ooh. Yeah.
They are loafing around on the internet, cyber loafing. It's employees slacking off by excessively surfing the internet, right? So this is an actually really cool study, once again, coming from UTSA, University of Texas, San Antonio, talking about cyber loafing. And they did a study where they took 10 different people, gave them a data entry task on a computer. And they also had, they had internet on the computer. So they asked, and then they told them, you all get paid a standard rate. If you guys do really good, you can get paid more based on productivity. Well, with the internet, they didn't do that good. So they did two different things. One group, they cut their internet off completely.
Right.
The other group, they asked them to vote if they should cut the internet off to get more productivity. Because once again, the more productive they were, the more they'd get paid. The group that they flat out shut the internet off, they actually did worse. They just kind of stopped working or like just looking up the ceiling and not really caring that much. Their productivity didn't increase.
Wow.
The group that they actually let choose, they're like, everyone voted, yes, let's turn it off. They actually went up 34% in productivity because they all turned off the internet and they got more stuff accomplished. So
was there a group of people that had the internet?
It was the base thing. It was the first, so they saw, they let them work with the internet.
Got it.
Saw their productivity. One group they cut off completely, the other group they asked, and then they saw what went, if it went up or not.
The reason why I'm asking is to understand it. So they had the internet and then it was just flat out taken away. Ooh, that's different because you're in that environment of, I was used to having the internet before, but did they test out a group that never had the internet at all?
I don't know. Maybe.
All right.
You're welcome to look it up if you want to online. Yeah, it's a neat study, but they found
that's interesting.
But what they found was giving employees a say has a huge impact on stopping wasteful internet surfing.
Absolutely.
Really cool. Really cool. Study.
And a lot of things, not just that. I mean, giving
I'm sure.
to say, yeah.
So once again, from UTSA, my alma mater, very excited.
Good job. Good work. This is a good study, not like.
Exactly. A lot of the studies that, cyber loafing, wasting time at your job, made me come up with my question. My public access topic was, out of all the jobs you've ever had, what job did you do the least amount of work at? And mine, once again, we all know it's not the current jobs that we have. It was a job that I had when I lived in Colorado at a place called Video Update.
Yeah, I like it already.
Everybody knows Video Update, right? Oh, that's right. They don't, because it was a small video store chain that shut down. So I worked in Colorado. It was one of my first few jobs up there. I worked as just a dude who worked, I checked out videos. And so it was a wonderful job because my boss was on work release from prison.
Yeah,
fuck yeah.
So if my boss, my manager, was not at work, he was detained. Like, he had to be in jail. He had to be at a set location. So there was never a time where you would ever wonder if the boss was going to show up automatically on a night shift, which means if the boss wasn't there, and there wasn't a video security system, so we just did whatever we wanted, which was not really worked. We would watch movies. Right. I mean, it's not like you had too much work to do, but we really didn't do any work. And I say we. It wasn't just me. It was everybody. We'd make popcorn that we sold. We would not ring it up. Like, we would – I guess you could call stealing.
It is stealing.
Sodas, candy. We would take videos home. It was really bad, but really a great job when you're, like, 19 and you don't care and your boss is in jail. And we would, like, get poster tubes that the posters would come in and, like, make balls and play, like, baseball inside of the thing. Like, we would just dick around constantly.
You're like Clerks.
It was like Clerks, if not worse, man. Because, like I said, there was no...
Did you ever hook up with someone in Video Update?
Wait, in the actual store?
Yeah, while you were working.
I'm trying to think. I met my girlfriend, actually. She worked there for like 2 weeks, but I don't think anything happened.
No,
but
you didn't take her to the beaded curtain.
No, we did have an adult section.
Yeah,
we did have an adult section, which always added just a fun little sort of like a little fun little thing where you'd see the person walk in and you're like, is that guy going? Yes, he is. He's going back to the adult section.
Did you ever see guys that were in there with their families buying kid movies and go in by themselves?
Oh, man. No, I don't think that ever. It was like if they came in, they had one reason for coming in. No, well, there'd be dudes who were like, oh, I'll take this, RoboCop 3 and RoboCock.
Right. Well, I'm not saying with their families there.
No. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Okay. No one rented like a kid's movie and a porn.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying they like Saturday afternoon, they're there with their family.
Oh, yeah. Right?
And then you go Monday at like 6 p.m., like straight after work.
No, I don't think so.
And it's the dad by himself.
It was really,
but you didn't notice that? Like, you didn't notice those?
No. It was kind of like.
What do you mean, like, good?
Well, the employees don't notice that.
I'm sure.
Not good, like, okay, yeah.
No, we had
that people aren't looking at me like, oh, that's that dad who came in here a few days ago. Now he's coming by himself.
But yeah, and then you just turn around the corner. I'm like jacking off.
Yeah.
It's such a
fucking human. Yeah, I can have a family and jack off.
It's such a funny dynamic, though, when there's an adult video store. You know, everyone going in there doesn't have to feel ashamed.
Yeah.
But then, like, even when a couple comes in, and they're like, "Oh, let's get a regular movie, or let's go back," and then they still come up to the counter, and there's still that sort of like embarrassment of like, "Yeah, we're renting an adult movie," and it's like, "I don't care. Yeah.
Give me a plan B."
They didn't exist at the time.
So, Video Update. I worked at that location with my jailed manager for maybe like 6 months, and then it got shut down. I'm sure they didn't make any money at that store whatsoever.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And then I moved to another Video Update, like in the other part of the city. And, man, that was a terrible job, but it was fun. It was a lot of fun because there was just zero expectations. We did zero work. It was a good job. It's a good job.
Andy can vouch because she had a great summer this year, that year, but there is a time where I had four jobs. I worked at the movie theater. I was, you know, an usher at the movie theater. I worked for a vending company at Fiesta, Texas, where I sold like ice creams and stuff.
And what's the ice cream called? The fucking
It's a Kadoozie.
It's a Kadoozie.
I worked at Backstage selling concert T-shirts, I had just started seasonal work at GameStop, so that was all for a short period of time. It's like, you know, it's like what is it, like November when there's basketball, baseball, and football going on for like those 2 weeks.
Yeah,
you know, so it was the end of Embassy, the beginning of GameStop. You know, so. I mention all three of them because working at Backstage, I didn't do shit. I considered those my days off. Like, I worked at River Center Mall and Ingram Mall. It was usually just, you know, closing or opening. And I was so tired from all the other jobs that I would just go. All the shirts were folded. Nobody fucking bought. Like, this is also that in the early days of Hot Topic. So why would they buy, you know, a fucking King Diamond shirt for $25 when they could go and possibly get one in Hot Topic for $9.99 on clearance.
Hot Topic sold King Diamond shirts?
We'll
say Deftones. Why buy a Deftones shirt when you can just go in a Hot Topic and get one over there?
Gotcha.
That's real, dog.
And all the shirts were already folded. You know what I mean? Because they came like that. And the only annoying thing is every now and again, the owner's wife would open the store at River Center, and she thought it was a good idea to take out all the coins out of the coin rolls and fill each of the trays with coins because she thought it was helping.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So then I would have to like re-roll them. So, because also nobody came in. This is where is also when I met Tom Araya from Slayer because he was in town for Ozfest. But I just fucking listen to music and talk to people about music, talk to the other vendors, my Eastern Oil homie that would fucking hook me up with some fucking CK Escape oil. That's right, bitches. Yeah. That's panty dropping fucking early 90s stuff.
Yeah, some brass knuckling.
Yeah. It is some brass knuckling. See, we're getting started. It's right there,
that's
baby.
That's not a thing, man.
We're back, baby.
We got it. Yeah. I'm brass knuckling spelling Escape, baby. And I was also, funny enough, the only one that would like, I was next to the Eastern Oils guy. So I'd see a guy in a concert shirt. I was like, hey, man, you know, we got Deftone shirts in here too. Hey, dude, we got Iron Maiden shirts in here too. You know, come check them out. So I was the only one that would make sales in addition to that, you know? And so I didn't do shit, but this was also before smartphones.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
Before Facebook.
Yeah.
So I was just reading fucking Metal Edge.
Listening to music.
Yeah, because that's the thing with that study and with anything, like the study, talking about that, and then like there's art that you see, like pieces of art of like families disassociated with each other because they're all on their phones. There's like either photographs or paintings of people engaged in their phone and nothing else outside of their life. And I have kind of a qualm with that. I was like, you replace the phone with anything else prior to phones existing, it's the same thing. Put a magazine in that person's hand.
Books,
put a TV, headphones, music,
Walkman,
put anything else.
Television.
It's not like this. It's this new thing where people have this one, like there's never been distractions before from your life that took you outside of your life. People have been wasting time since the existence of time. That's my
nobody wants to hang out with their parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, man.
Nobody wants to hang out with their parents.
I know that's off on a tangent, but like when I see your point, like you didn't have a smartphone, but you were finding something else to do to pass the fucking time.
I was getting the guy who worked at the bootleg purse store who spoke Portuguese to translate fucking Soulfly lyrics for me.
Nice. And fucking Sepultura. Well, all same thing.
Yeah. Because we sold Max Cavaletta shirts. Not Soulfly, not Sepultura.
Straight up Max Cavaletta shirts. Yeah, I mean, that's
it was
hilarious.
Fucking badass.
That's hilarious.
Fucking standees. You're welcome, y'all.
The job I worked the least at is only because of I only worked it for like a day. Was I had this one job. It was the third job I was working. Cause it was,
you guys work a lot.
It was best. Yeah, it was Best Buy in its year one. It was Diamond Shamrock. It's a convenience store, but I also took on this extra job of a convention setups. It's the job that you people go, like when a convention comes into town, there's people that go in, they set up tents, they set up booths, they set up all these displays. Well, they're usually like contracted workers that actually know the business, know the convention business, and know how to put these things together. Well, they have ads in, I don't know, like the paper. I forgot how I found this fucking opportunity, quote unquote, but I made the phone call and it's like, yeah, I like to work this job. And
you're hired.
Yeah, you're hired. Exactly. So I went to the
baskets.
Henry B. Gonzalez Convention Center in San Antonio to set up what I think was some kind of tech convention. And then they basically gave me this little, okay, this is your areas right here. They gave me a piece of paper with a listing of areas. And it was like for just A, B, C, D, like it was like letters. So then in a kind of a map that said, you set these things up. I'm like, great. And the guy walked off. And then before as he was walking off, I was like, whoa, what am I setting up? And he's like, well, you're setting up the booths and the tents or whatever it needs to be set up there. And I'm like, all right. Like, is there instructions? You've never done this before? No. Like, today is my first day. I just told you that like 10 minutes ago. Yeah. And so, all right. Well, then he kind of like shuffled around. Here's the instruction. It's basically like essentially picture building furniture,
yeah,
like IKEA furniture or build your furniture. It's not hard to do. Anyone could do it. But when you've done it a lot of times, you could be really fast at building the shit. So you have these guys who have been working this job and they're just fucking tossing up these tents and booths and shit. And they're just drilling. And I'm kind of like, I'm doing my job, but I'm still like learning. And so the guy was like, you're not finished with this one? Like, really? Like, disappointed, like very, like you're not finished with this. Okay, you need to. Hey, and he grabbed this guy. Come over here. Hey, you need to finish this one. Or come over to this one. Giving me like an easier one. But that's all. It's not about being easy. It's just about I'm not as fast as these guys who have done it a shitload of times. So it was supposed to be work for the next day. It was a weekend job, and so he's like, "Well, we might not need you tomorrow, so if you don't hear from us, just don't worry about it.
You're fired."
Essentially, yeah. But because it's a contracted temporary temp job thing, they don't have to say that you're fired. Yeah. So, but I worked the least because it wasn't, to me, hard work because I didn't have the knowledge to do the hard work yet. And, I mean, shit, they should have put in the description, we need experienced people to do it. So that would have been the thing. The least, the legitimately, like, least amount of work I would do at a job would be graveyard shifts at convenience store, but there was still work to be done. It was still like at least 2 hours of like real work.
But then the most is just waiting.
But then the worst is just waiting. And then going to the whole point, like no smartphones or anything like that. I had fucking comics or I had fucking books and I had other shit to waste time on, quote unquote. But like the work's done. The fucking changes like in the rolls.
Eat a couple old hot dogs.
Yeah, eat some fucking hot dogs.
Yeah, that was GameStop at a point. Inventory was done. Yeah. Place was clean. Scrub the windows. Yeah.
Just hang out.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, all right, Carlos, let's talk about Bioshock.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think there's a lot of jobs.
Yeah, but that's when I worked at GameStop with Larry, like that was like Larry had said, that was my day off.
Yeah,
I gotta work. I just gotta work GameStop like from 6 to 10. That's like my day off.
And then I go in there, and then I best employee because he wasn't afraid to just alphabetize shit and do fucking stock work because
it was Best Buy, and like Best Buy is like real fucking like TVs and big equipment stock work, and this is like fucking game cases. I'm like, oh, that's all shelved and nice.
And a video update, I did none of that stuff.
Yeah.
That's funny.
The 2 hours of stuff y'all had to do.
You did like zero. No. Like zilch.
We did shrink wrap Pokemon, stuffed Pokemon, and then use the shrink wrap tubes to play baseball.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every job I worked at, I mean, not so much to brag and like, oh, I'm the best, but every job I worked that I worked, like I actually like put in the work.
That I was just his manager for what, a couple months, right?
Mm-hmm.
Never let that get in between our friendship.
Nice.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah, exactly. We had cookies and soda. Yeah,
that's right. Just hung out. Talk about Community Go-Go.
Nice. Yeah.
Great.
I was like, what game are you playing? He's like, I don't give a fuck.
I don't get any of these fucking games.
Carlos.
Bioshock.
Yeah. I did do Bioshock.
Have you ever not worked at a job?
I started working it when I was 10.
Yeah.
Working.
Yeah.
Like working, actually.
Yeah, but.
Not like a job in retail or like renting videos.
No,
like work.
Grounds work.
Yeah. Manual labor with a capital M-A-N.
What did you do when you were 10?
When I was 10, my father made me go interview for a job over at the apartments we were staying at for a position to clean up pretty much the apartments, pick up all the trash after school.
Right.
For $2 a day.
$2 a day?
Yeah. That's when I learned how to subsidize and hired this Cuban kid to do it for 50 cents to help me out. And so I would pocket $2.50, give him 50 cents. And I get done faster.
Yeah, and you do less work.
And I do less work.
Nice.
Was he a younger Cuban kid?
No, he was older.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Either way, money's money, dude.
He's a communist, so he was just told that that's what his job was. But this is how much he was getting paid.
The least amount of work was when I was working at Walmart.
Oh, wow.
Liz and I used to work at Walmart because she used to follow me to every job that I
ever had. Oh, is that right? Yeah. That's adorable.
At the time, it wasn't. But
real quick. So did you get the job at Walmart knowing she was going to follow you, or did you get the job and then she was like, oh, by the way, I applied. Also,
yeah.
No, we were working at Arby's before that together.
Oh,
and
wow.
So I applied to Walmart. I told her, and then she applied to Walmart. But I got a job at Walmart. I came in with my shirt and tie. The guy that hired me, you know, he's like, you know, Castro, you all right. That's all he like.
I get it. I'm picking up what you're putting down, homie.
From the beginning, I was the fastest cashier. I wasn't the fastest. I was like the third fastest cashier. Some of these old ladies would beat me.
Yeah.
There. And after a while, I would just show up whenever I wanted. So out of a month, out of 3 months' work, I would only show up to two, really. And the manager would like pull me to the side and say, you know, you haven't been really showing up. Really like you when you are here, you do a great job, but you need to show up. So I did that for several months after that. And finally, one of the store side managers, whatever, came up and talked to me, and they pulled me aside with the cashier manager and said, all right, we're going to have to let you go. You know, you missed way too much work. And my manager started crying.
Aww.
She did not want to fire me.
Right.
I told this man, hey, it's not your fault, baby. I know where this was going.
I ain't been putting my all into this.
Yep.
I didn't put in the time, so y'all don't give me the dimes.
That's right.
Don't tear none, sugar tits.
That's hilarious.
Verbatim.
And so when you lost your job, you're like, well, you tell your wife, well, we got to go now. Like,
she already, by that time.
It's like this. What up?
That's it.
Yeah.
By that time, we were getting ready to go into Iraq, and I said, it's about time. So I joined up and decided to go be good at something else.
So then he became Captain Mexican American. Yeah.
That's Capitan right. Esteban Rogelio.
Yeah, I got it. Then you became half man.
La Christmas soldier.
Half gun.
Christmas soldier. Christmas fucking soldier.
Drop it. That's it.
My Christmas soldier.
Oh, that was fucking beautiful.
It's also the name of the fucking episode. Christmas soldier.
Esteban Rogelio.
Yeah.
Christmas soldier.
Yeah, Capitan Mexican.
Felicidad.
Christmas soldier.
Wonderful. That's so good. Very good. Very good, Regan.
God damn it.
It works.
Hey, look, man.
He fought his best friend and he died in Christmas, but then he came back during Christmas.
That emo chick with the metal arm? Yeah, Christmas shoulder.
Yeah, fucking grumpy cat with long hair.
Christmas shoulder?
Christmas shoulder!
Christmas shoulder. I think that's what I said.
Hey, he's Christmas soldier with Christmas soldier.
The emo chick with the metal arm, though.
Yeah. Christmas shoulder. I love it. Good answer, Carlos. The least amount of work I did was killing people for a living.
I'm glad it was at Walmart.
I don't call that work. Yeah,
it taught me a terrible lesson. It just taught me that, you know, if you're really good at something, people will let you get away with murder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait.
That was a bad lesson. That was not.
What if you're really good at murder?
Then you get away with it.
All right. Yeah.
No, but you're bad at getting away with it.
but you're really good at murdering.
Mm. Well, that's what makes you good at murder. So getting away with murder means you're already good at it. That's what comes with the territory. That doesn't just mean you're good at stabbing. Anyone could fucking stab somebody.
No, he's really good at stabbing people.
No.
Hey, man. But he just does it in public all the time.
Stop killing people in public.
Stop killing people with surgical precision.
Facebook answers. Shaggy from Puto Slam says, Domino pizza delivery. I needed cash for the dead tour, so I literally gave them my 2 weeks notice the day I applied. He says,
go ahead.
They hired me anyway.
I worked at a call center for Southwest Airlines, and I told them, I said, I'm just going to do the training, and then after the potluck at the end of this training, I'm out. And they all laughed, and I fucking quit with a mouthful of borracho beans.
So they thought you were joking.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I just bullshitted the trade. Like, I wasted that company's money. Then 9/11 happened, and they closed down the place.
Welcome to the company.
Yeah.
Thanks. I'd like well, to hey,
if you, but, hey, if you didn't do that job, then maybe 9/11 wouldn't have happened. Yeah. That's your fucking sliding doors thing.
Oh, you're man. Right, man.
Larry, stop making 9/11 happen, dude.
Sometimes it happens.
Travis.
Sometimes you get 9/11.
Travis K says, it had to be when I worked at the coin shop. We literally watched TV all day while sorting coins, placing them in holders, and labeling them.
I just coin shop. Automatically. That's like the coin shop. Yeah. I just love that. That's fucking great.
That's a real thing.
That's
apparently.
A real thing. The coin shop.
That's where you go to buy money.
Yeah.
I like full
yeah.
coins, please. What kind of coins would you like, sir?
Three
silvers and one copper.
Can you picture like just being on the street? Do you know where the coin shop is? Like,
sir,
like,
that's not a thing.
Yeah,
like, there's a coin shop on Commerce by the River.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. Asking directions to the coin shop, you have to like look around and make sure you're not being like.
It'll cost you a quarter. I need coins.
It's kind of like you're getting pranked.
He says, my favorite part of the day was when Jeopardy would come on. My boss and the owner of the shop, Bruce, would look over to me and say, "How the f did you know that?" Every time I had the answer to an obscure question, still my favorite job of all time.
Damn, you worked there.
He lost on Jeopardy.
Comes out at like 6.
Maybe.
Sonia Smith says, delivering the newspaper. Almost everyone in our neighborhood got the paper, so we just got extras and gave them out to everyone else because it was easier. All right. Kelly Chroma says, medical studies. Pee, pill, Netflix. Nice.
Nice. I like that, yeah.
That's a job.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Andrew Thomas says, I am writing this while working in the music section at Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
I assume that pretty much covers it.
Yeah, now, dude, well no one's going to go fucking shopping for the latest Miley Cyrus and pay $17 at Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, right.
Except for people who like, yeah, except for like people who like Criterion Blu-rays and DVDs.
Oh, man.
And they in and out. They don't want to fuck with your bullshit.
Who buys music anymore at a store?
I don't, peeps.
Honestly.
Well, there's the man that fucking answered that question.
Grandparents.
Grandparents?
Yeah. Record stores.
They need to get the latest.
This lady who got stiffed on a Secret Santa at work, we went to Best Buy, and I said, you know, you can get something. I'll spot you, you know, whatever you want. $15 limit, please. And she got an Elvis CD.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what the fuck is
this? Marvin Lanier says, when I was opening a new convenience store with my company, my only assignment was to sweep and mop the floors over and over again on my overnights. I caught up with some sleep where the cameras couldn't find me.
Yeah, right. There it is.
The easiest job I had is my own business. Whatever, Marvin.
He was sweeping and mopping the floors.
He had to stock in front the cooler. That's another good place to take a nap.
I was opening a new convenience store with his company. He's like, anyway. Melissa Overstreet says, Toys R Us.
It's not even what he's saying.
Working at Toys R Us, it was the absolute best. That's where a kid can be a kid.
Fuck Toys R Us.
Justin Cooper says, I used to work part-time at a bakery thrift store. What? A bakery thrift store from 5 a.m. to 12 p.m.? Oh, yeah. Those old day-old bread places.
Nice. Somebody called it a bakery thrift store.
Most days I just ate snack cakes and rang up a couple dozen people. Most days I was hungover or with some sort of buzz. So I was a lazy employee anyway.
Yeah. And your beer smell just smells like yeast. Yeah. So it's all good.
Is that me or the old sour cream donuts?
Yeah.
Alfred Perez says, when I was an usher at the Puro Galaxy Theater on Perambital, I had a sketchbook in my pocket and I drew in between cleaning movie theaters. Mm-hmm. And no one cared. We all make minimum wage here. No one cares. That's what the assistant manager told me once. It's the truth, though.
It is the truth. Nobody cares. Especially the Galaxy. Now it's the Rialto, but during the flavor years of the Galaxy, that place was an absolute fucking dump.
Yeah. Stay away from that place.
Yeah.
Jenny Matisek said, when I worked in my mom's office, I had little or little to nothing to do. When she was in Florida for a week, I played mostly computer games and slept in her comfy work chair while not letting anyone else find out. I was a ninja in napping. Plus, minimum wage helped. A lot of minimum wage jobs, yeah.
Yeah, fuck it.
So, yeah, there you go. Cyber loafing.
That's kind of funny. Just the word's kind of funny.
I like cyber loafing.
I think we can all get behind cyber loafing. Yeah.
Pinch of cyber loaf.
And I'm pretty sure, yeah, you know, it's just a thing that's happening. I guess this was a study looking at people on computers, so it'd be interesting to look at, like, people on their phones. But I guess that's the way you can mask cyber loafing.
There's the app for that. I'm like, there's an app for that. There was a BuzzFeed video about that. It was an app that measures your active time on your phone. It's actually meant to kind of shock you when you actually look at the end of the day and you're like, oh during my work day.
6 hours.
Yeah, I was on my phone for 6 hours at an 8 hour work day with an hour long lunch.
That's why
they did that
study. Everyone should go watch the show Adam Ruins Everything, that we should all get Fridays off and everyone can get everything they want accomplished in a 4 day work week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because people have that the whole wrap everything up. Work mentality.
At my job, we schedule things like events for employees, and we never do it on Mondays or Fridays because Mondays is usually super busy because people didn't do shit on Friday. And we don't schedule things on Friday because people don't want to do shit.
Yeah.
No one shows up to stuff. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, cyber loafing. That's kind of funny.
It kind of is, but it isn't.
It's a good word. If you think of him taking a dump.
Brass knuckles.
Cyber loaf, yep.
Going knuckle deep on that brass. Now, Carlos, this isn't your first time.
It's not your first rodeo.
You know, and I would just like to be the first person to thank you for your sponsorship. It really means the world. The money's going to go a long way. We're going to buy snacks with it. And we're not going to eat them on the air. So it's actually not going to have anything to do with anything we've...
anything you promise.
Yeah. No, it's going to go a long way, man. And we really, really appreciate it. But as you know, as a sponsor of Public Access... this is an educational program. So we like to ask, you know, our guests and ourselves, what did we come to know? You know, like, what made you come to learn something about yourself? Maybe the world. So, Carlos, you ponder that for a second. And Jess, what did you come to know?
Yeah, I came to know that I don't like as much kid stuff as I thought I would. When the question came, well, that's easy, and then I thought about it. Like, current kid stuff, I came to know that I really don't like that much current kid stuff. And if I do like kid stuff, it's things that are related to things I already like from my childhood, so I don't even like count so much as current original. But I do know that I would probably really enjoy Gravity Falls and Steven Universe. I'd really enjoy both of those shows, so I would probably put that in my rotation very soon.
What I came to know is that our fanboys have favorites. The fanboys liked us collectively. They liked Public Access. They liked Comedia Go-Go. But I've come to know that Carlos loves Jess more than me.
Not even true.
It's like if you love the Ninja Turtles, you gotta have a favorite turtle.
Yeah. Right. Travis likes me more than you guys. And, you know...
sure about that?
Ryan Timothy Grace... has he bought you anything?
I'm just saying.
Has he bought you anything?
You sure about that?
Has he bought you anything?
Travis, have you bought me anything? I
feel bad. You know, it's not about it's not about the gifts. You said it yourself.
It absolutely is.
But you said it yourself. It's not about the material stuff.
Anyway, so man has the right to change his mind.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, this isn't a political race. You can flip flop all you want.
Yeah, I could fucking flip flop that when it comes to my feelings. And Ryan Timothy Brace loves Regan.
But right. He likes all of us.
Right. No. Carlos likes me. I'm not saying Carlos doesn't like me. But he loves you. And so it's nice. And I admire it. And I envy it. You know, what you guys have is beautiful. So what I came to know is that, you know, I'm a package deal.
What?
You know what I mean?
What do you mean you're a package deal? What does that mean?
Oh, I really like Jess. I'm going to deal with Lori. You know what I mean? Like,
okay. Yeah. Right. You're the fourth wheel.
I'm the fourth wheel.
Yeah.
In this fucking automobile.
Yeah.
You're necessary.
No. It's like, look.
You're a necessary component.
It's like.
You made the three wheels.
We have to have him here.
Yeah. Like,
he's a fourth wheel in that we don't want that fourth wheel, but you have to have the fourth wheel.
I don't really like, you know, I'm the
rear passenger wheel.
Like we, yeah. Yeah.
No, I need you and I like you and I love you and I need you in my life.
He's the
you're
fourth
not,
wheel that we
no,
buy. You
but
buy
we're
three
all wheels.
Wheels
here.
We buy three wheels and you get the fourth one free. We didn't really want that fourth one, but we're getting it free and that's Larry.
Exactly. Yeah, right.
Larry's that fourth wheel.
And I get it. And I accept my role.
That's, I put you in a better role.
I came to know several things. I've come to know Larry really gets offended.
Wait, you give barely came to know?
No, I mean, this is like really, it was just fun to see today. If someone gets a gift and he doesn't, that's an easy one. I also came to know that Jess is like the best worker ever.
Mm-hmm. At everything he does.
At everything he does.
That's why he gets presents.
Maybe. But it's good to know that there's people out there, right? There's people that no matter what job they do, they're going to do it their best. Jess Castro is one of those people.
Jess gets so many presents that he's willing to be like, oh, I don't really like this.
Right? That's yeah. why.
What is that? Wait, he said about me working, and then what does that have to do with me getting presents? It's like
because you're such a hard worker.
No, that's not even related at all whatsoever.
Yeah, right.
And then finally, came to know that I thought I was going to hate these Akmak like wafer things.
Why?
I thought they were going to be terrible. They just look not that good on the front. I thought it was going to be like unleavened bread kind of stuff. But shouldn't judge books by a cover. You shouldn't judge a person by their ingredients. And when you read the ingredients, they sound delicious. Organically grown whole wheat, flour stone ground, clover honey, sesame oil, dairy butter, sesame seeds, yeast, and salt. It's delicious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were very good.
For a very, like, plain-looking snack, yeah. It's deceptively tasty.
You weren't
going to
like it because it was Middle Eastern and probably Muslim.
Actually,
no,
it's not.
It's right? not.
And
yeah.
you said, you know what?
It's from Sanger, California.
Exactly.
It's delicious. So, Akmaks.
Yeah, so by the cover, it's like, I don't want this Middle Eastern trash. Take it back where I see where it came from.
And these Tunuk tea cakes.
Oh,
really
man,
good.
Those Tunuk tea cakes are fucking great. Yeah, I highly recommend those.
I also came to know that
those
Tunuk
are fantastic.
Tea cakes and Akmaks. Good job, Carlos.
Yeah, awesome job.
Nobody saw that coming with the Akmaks.
Yeah.
I think we all
learned
about
that. I did. That was my number one. I opened them first.
Anyway, Carlos, what did you come to know?
I came to know that, much like in elementary school, that if I'm going to bring something, I should bring enough for everybody.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
No, man. You know, I'm cool. I'm the kid in the back that can't chew gum because I have braces, you know. So y'all.
I get it.
Enjoy your gum.
Jess let me stay at his place, and Regan let me stay at his place. But I know I can't stay at your place.
No.
For a fact.
No, you can't.
That's not a thing that's going to happen because I remember that episode.
Yeah, it's all right, man.
Because I know intimate things about you.
See?
Yeah.
It's payback.
It's not payback. It's just a revenge. It happened
joke.
To be that he was the Lego store. He goes, you know who liked Legos? Jess. And I'm just going to get him because I always happened to be there. And I got him some fucking Legos. If he was at a horror paraphernalia store and he saw some Leatherface
Jess
shit.
Oh, gonna love this.
But it's also you're the, oh, you only got big red? Alright, that's cool, I guess. You're that dude to the max. Cause he brought us snacks and food and deliciousness and he's done it before. And, god damn it, he sponsored this episode.
Yeah.
And yet Larry is still upset that you did not get a Lego minifigure.
I am not upset.
Yeah. What
no,
are you?
I'm not
jealous?
Upset. I am hurt.
Okay, there you go. He's hurt.
My heart is broken.
All that Carlos has done, you are still hurt.
No, because it just made, like, when I saw the podcast sponsor, I'm like, oh my god, Carlos sponsored my thing. And then when I saw the food, I was like, oh my god, he brought us food. Carlos is the best.
Yes,
and then
he
when
is.
When I saw that, I went, oh, I wonder if they're going to let me have some of Jess's snacks. I wonder if they're going
to...
If he's cool if I use some of the money he gave to Jess's podcast.
That's not what it's all about.
No.
I love it.
God damn it.
And that's why I'm eating sunflower seeds, man, because Carlos didn't bring them.
Oh my god.
Jesus. Completely joking because I love making things awkward, Carlos. And I love you very much. You're a really good friend of mine. And you can stay at my house. This is the truth. Whenever you want. If Jess and Regan aren't available. So what do you have going on soon, man? Any cool trips?
I'm just here in San Antonio for this month. And I'm going to be training up for an upcoming MMA tournament.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
Have you fought before?
Yeah, I got my ass kicked last time. I decided to fight in the heavyweight division, which even at 235 pounds, I was pretty small guy.
How long was the match?
The matches were anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes, and I got Batista bombed by a big Puerto Rican guy they called the Juggernaut. And
oh, shit.
And I learned not to fight guys with nicknames.
Right.
And
I learned that too.
And this is like fucking like his name's like
Glass Joe.
Glass Joe.
Glass Joe.
Glass Joe.
Yeah.
Soda Popinski.
No, don't fuck with Soda Popinski if you're not skilled yet. You gotta fucking get put up in there. Well, no, because when you fuck Soda Popinski after you fucking had your fucking Glass Joe a couple times.
Yeah.
You got Top King hip before you fucking take on Soda Popinski.
I was way out of my league, so I'm gonna go back down to the 205.
Nice.
205 and
destroy
go fight
200 pound guys.
Yep.
I can't wait to hear about the person you beat up. That's going to be a lot of fun. So, are you going to go with a nickname? Christmas Soldier?
Yeah. No one will know what the hell that means.
No, well, it's the alliteration of Carlos Christmas Soldier Castro.
All right.
Yeah. I like it. I like it. Well, Carlos, thank
Carlos,
you so much.
Carlos, the Christmas soldier.
Yeah, and then he come out with a Santa hat and like a painted steel metal arm.
Yeah,
yeah, dude. There fuck yeah, dude.
No one will know what the hell's going on.
And then, why is he called the Christmas soldier?
And then when you fight fucking Jubilee or whoever you're gonna fight,
and there's gonna be some Bud Lights in the audience, and like, oh,
I get it.
Yeah, dude. Hey, that's clever
from Captain America's dude. Yeah, Christmas soldier.
Yeah, he died during World War II during Christmas.
Yeah, it was his best friend from Boy Meets World.
He fell off the Christmas train. He fell off the Polar Express.
Yeah,
woo!
fell off the Polar Express.
Captain America's friend.
They were fighting the Polar Express. And his best friend died. He fell off. Fucky dog.
Fucking. Butt fucking,
yeah.
What's what they call him?
Butt fuck Bucky, that's his name.
Butt fuck Bucky, the Christmas song.
Yeah, butt fuck Bucky, the Christmas song.
Fell off the Polar Express.
Fell off the Polar Express. He died during Christmas.
It was during Christmas and it became the Christmas soldier.
And he fell off the Polar Express. Oh shit, what the fuck?
Well, Carlos, thank you for,
who's gonna follow any of that?
Bud Lights.
No.
Bud Lights. If I went to the South Side, I go, hey, did you see that Marvel movie where fucking Christmas Soldier fell off the Polar Express? And they're gonna be like, oh, Captain America? Like, without,
No.
Without a doubt. Carlos, thank you so much for your sponsorship. Thank you so much even more for your friendship. Thank you for being a good sport and letting me pick on you and give you a fake guilt trip. Thank you for the snacks and thank you for your continued support of us and our country. And I can't wait to see you fight and see you kill somebody in the name of love.
Yeah.
Carlos, we appreciate you. Jess, do we have anything going on?
No, just as usual, thanks for listening to us on oneofus.net. We highly, super appreciate all you listeners. Thanks for following us and answering our questions on our Public Access Happy Campers Facebook page. If this is the first time you're listening to it, you want to get in on the fun, just look up Public Access Happy Campers. You'll find our group. Ask for the invite. We'll let you in gladly, acceptingly. On Twitter, at ComediaGogo and hashtag Public Access. Thanks for listening to us. You can get older episodes on ComediaAgogo.com. And don't forget, for all you people in the South Texas, San Antonio area, we have our upcoming week of awesome shows at the Laugh Out Loud Comedy Club, April 13th through April 17th, including the Friday and Saturday show, Night in Pinche S.A. is a full-blown sketch comedy show, new videos, new live sketches. It's going to rock the house. It's going to be fucking tight and fucking awesome, and you're going to love it.
And all of our Public Access fans, make sure that you make the trip. You know, even if you're not in Texas, fucking fly down April 17th to see a live edition of Public Access. So I'm talking to all of my out-of-towners that are listening. You know what? I challenge you to come down to San Antonio April 17th and be a part of the live taping of Public Access, because we want to see your beautiful faces.
Yeah, that'll be a blast.
If you come in, just come for the whole week, because you get to see all of our different fun stuff.
Yeah.
It's a good week to come
and
by.
Go to couchsurf.com and not stay with
me. You can stay at my place.
There it is. It's right there on public access, guys. Dude. So thank you again, Carlos, as always. And thank you all for listening. Love you very much. If you you know, are going to come on the show, bring presents for everybody.
Ooh, one extra thing. One cool thing on the side. Our friend and past public access guest, Jay White Cotton, is finally got the good news that his CD... comedy CD High Lonesome is finally coming out in April after over a year and a half of waiting and kind of just building up to it. We're finally gonna put that out. I'm super happy to talk about that because I actually edited and put together that CD, so it's actually a neat thing for me that I actually put together a brand new fully produced live comedy show CD that I cut and edited and put together, and I'm super excited for y'all guys to hear it because not just because I did it, but because it's our friend Jay White Cotton. If you heard him on the show, you're gonna love his stand-up. It's fucking great. It's awesome. It's my stamp of approval, so look out for that in April. High Lonesome, Jay White Cotton.
Love that guy.
Yeah, he's wonderful. So once again, guys, thank you all so much, and we love you. Once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And we'll brass knuckle you later.
Yeah! You're happy that happened.
It's not a thing. You saw it coming.